ever with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Begin countdown.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered a restricted broadcast area. You have entered a restricted broadcast area.
Please enter your security code.
Access.
Calibrate digital audio.
Press it, equalize it, add that curve.
Setup. Complete. Initiate.
Conservative Republican who believes George W. Bush did the right thing by invading Iraq? Are you in agreement with Mr. Bush when he says, we need to stay the course no matter how long it takes? Do you agree with the president when he says that he will never set any time schedule to pull out our troops? Well, if you agree with all that, then you'll certainly want to help out Mr. Bush by signing up your kids or grandkids for military service today. Yes, just call your local Army, Navy, Air Force, or Marine recruiter and tell them the age and social security number of your little Johnny or Susie and make an appointment for a free visit by your local military recruiter. We know that by supporting the president's war, you are a super patriot, and you'll want to be the first on your block to offer up your kids for Mr. Bush's war. Don't worry if you think they're too young. Even if they're only 10 or 11 years old, this war will certainly last long enough for them to get involved. And for the first 15 callers, we're offering absolutely free a CD of the president uttering those famous fighting words, bring 'em on. Yes, this CD will have special meaning to you, especially if your kid is wounded or killed in Iraq. So call now and get your child or grandchild registered today. Just call 1-800-TAKE-MY-KID. That's 1-800-TAKE-MY-KID.
Democratic Radio is on the air now.
Ask what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream today.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show. America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Now here's Guy James.
Good evening, Harry Truman Democrats. This is the Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk radio show, broadcasting live from the world headquarters of the TIB Network, your antidote to poisonous right-wing talk pollution. The Truth in Broadcasting Network and the Guy James Show deliver the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Glad to have you with us this evening. Always glad to have our audience with us, all our local folks here up and down the coast, and, of course, all of you out there on the World Wide Web, from coast to coast, sea to shining sea, and around the world. Glad to hear from you each and every week, and glad to have you along with us. Much to talk about tonight. We welcome you to join us, 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. And you can IM us, all you AOL folks, instant message, IM us at Guy James Show. And we'll have somebody get right back to you. We most certainly will. And so this is an interactive program. You can participate. We don't want to go it alone. Oh, we could, but we don't want to. That's right. Lots to talk about tonight. We've got a couple of great guests coming up in a little while. We got Judd Legum from the American Progress Action Fund. He's going to talk about, well, something that was in the news a little bit this week. Some of you may have heard that, and maybe some of you don't know. I guess Tom DeLay was in the news a little bit this week. Who knew? And Professor Bernard Weiner from the San Francisco Chronicle and the Crisis Papers and a list of accomplishments in his life a mile long is going to be along to talk about the possible impeachment of George W. Bush a little bit later on. And, surprise, surprise, we've got some Republican love for you a little bit later on in the program. That's right. And we're going to talk about lots of things tonight. We're going to talk about Mr. Bill Bennett. Oh, my. I'm wondering if it doesn't bother anyone that Bill Bennett was Secretary of Education, hypothetically, of course. I mean, hypothetically, I'm wondering if Bill Bennett's a bigoted racist. You know, hypothetically, I'm wondering if a racist bigot on the radio would have any influence on his listeners concerning promoting a, hypothetical Republican whiter-than-white policy in his own party. I mean, this isn't 1900 or 1920 or 1950 or 1960 or 70 we're talking about. That was then. This is now. Things have changed. Or have they? Hypothetically speaking, of course. And, of course, we listen to the hysterical Limbaugh this week and the hysterical Sean Hannity. These guys outdid themselves this week defending Bill Bennett. That's what's so interesting about right-wing radio. There's a couple of those people that will defend no matter what. Like I always said, if Bush cooked and ate live babies on TV, they would defend him to the max. They would never, ever, ever admit one thing was wrong. And, you know, at least the White House, I don't give them a lot of credit, but at least they were smart enough to distance themselves from Bennett's racist statement this week. And Rush, if you're listening, man, Rush, something's going on in your life, Rush. Something is going on. Did you hear him Thursday and Friday? He was talking 100 miles an hour again and stammering and stuttering like a madman after the Tom DeLay announcement. You don't suppose, hypothetically, of course, you don't suppose he's... Nah, downing dozens of those OxyContin pills a day again. Do you? You don't suppose he would... Nah, okay. And we want to talk a little later on about George Bush's unbelievable statement this week about 100 battalion of Iraqi soldiers ready to protect Iraq. I don't know where old George gets all this stuff, but he manages to come up with some doozies now and then. You know, some of you will recall that a couple of years ago I had Gore Vidal on the program. I'll never forget that night we had Gore Vidal because like him or hate him or whatever, you'll have to admit Gore Vidal is an interesting character. And a character is the word for Gore Vidal. And I stated to him that evening that this current Republican regime would, well, they'd be known as the most corrupt, disingenuous administration in our nation's history and that they'd be guilty of smash-and-grab politics, the likes of which have never been seen in this country. Well, Gore Vidal disagreed with me. He didn't think they'd have the temerity to smash-and-grab. I was right. I was right, and he was wrong. And although I must admit, I vastly underestimated this current Republican gang of thugs, I really didn't think they'd have the gall to do most of it out in the open for everybody to see, the sort of in-your-face style that they seem to have adopted, the we're going to do what we want and let's just see if you can do anything about it style. And that's what they've been doing. So, you know, and I'm not disappointed in the Republican administration, for they're doing exactly what I expected of them. They're lying, cheating, and stealing themselves and their corporate buddies to even greater wealth and power. That was to be expected. After all, they are Republicans, you know. And what I did not expect is the apparent willingness of around 25% of the American public to accept the actions of the Bush gang is, oh, fine with me. Whatever my Republican leaders do is okay with me because they're all good, upstanding Christian men and they'll always do the right thing. By the way, I arrived at the 25% figure because of the fact that almost half of our citizens didn't vote. And only about half of those who did vote voted for Junior Bush and Company. That's how we arrived at about 25% of the people in the country. So I tune in this week to listen to some right-wing talking points after after the DeLay indictment. And I hear precisely exactly what I thought I'd hear. Witch hunt. Partisan political attack. Ridiculous charges. Everybody does it. I really love that one. Everybody does it after hearing the rule of law 24/7 during the Clinton impeachment trial. You know, you knew that although no one would come out and say they were proud of Tom DeLay during these past few months, and my regular listeners will know this, that I asked that question many, many times on this show. Are you proud to have Tom DeLay as your House Majority Leader? And never got one single Republican to call and say they were proud of Tom DeLay. Not one. But you knew that once this filthy political parasite was indicted, they'd all rally to his defense because they know that there is Republican blood in the water, and lots of it. And they know that their smash-and-grab times might be cut short, and they won't end up with as much of our money as they'd planned to get from us. You know, Bill Frist, how could he do something so openly questionable? How could DeLay do what he's done and laugh in people's faces about it? How could Karl Rove and the others in the White House defy the law regarding top-secret information about a CIA officer? How could Jack Abramoff and his pal, Safavian, openly break the law time after time and get away with it? And by the way, Abramoff and Safavian have the stench of Tom DeLay all over them, don't they? A lot of people got that smell on them in Washington, that O.D. DeLay. Lots of them. You know, how could the Secretary of State go before a world body and tell a pack of lies about the WMDs in Iraq? How could the president and vice president push for the CIA to bring them the information about Iraq that they needed politically instead of what was actually true? You know, when you stop and think about it, how could any of this happen without the American public becoming absolutely outraged and incensed about it? You know, they get away with it because of two reasons. And I've thought a lot about this. First and foremost, public apathy is the number one reason they get away with it. Let's face it. Most of America just doesn't give a damn. I know people like this. You know people like this. They think everyone in public life is corrupt, therefore they've lost trust in the system because, as they put it, what good does it do for me to get involved because the politicians are going to do what they want, whether I'm involved or not. You know, to a certain extent, they're true. That's true. But these people seem to forget that the politicians work for us, not the other way around. And the politicians seem to forget that as well. And they seem to forget that it's the responsibility and duty of every American to make sure that our elected political leaders are on the level. If they aren't, it's our responsibility to kick them the hell out of office. So that's the first reason that the Republican thieves get away with what they do. And don't accuse me of being unfair here. The same goes for any Democrat that's corrupt. No one was more pleased to see Jim Trafficant go to prison than I was. He's a rat, and he's where he belongs right now, behind bars. He should have been there a long time ago. He should have never got to Congress. He's a Democrat. I'm glad he's in jail. I was ashamed to have him in the Democratic Congress. You know, as people should be ashamed to have Tom DeLay in the Congress. I think when it all boils down to it, at the end, Tom DeLay is going to make Trafficant look like a choir boy. You know, and secondly, the reason these guys get away with what they do is that they almost completely own the media. You know, even Ann the Man Coulter admitted that recently, not long ago on cable TV. They own the airwaves, and they're able to get any propaganda they want pronounced as truth to millions and millions of listeners 24/7. You know, in the latter part of this week, the right-wing spin machine was in warp speed. They were churning out their talking points about how this was all just a witch hunt, an attempt by the Democrats to get Tom DeLay because he's such an effective leader. No one had to get Tom DeLay. He's a pompous ass who's a dishonest, mean-spirited Bush bootlicker. And he's proven over and over again that he'll do anything to carry out his marching orders from the White House. He has been a powerful ally to George Bush. Members of Congress hate him for his strong-arm tactics, and you should know that those that hate him come from both sides of the aisle. He's not a likable guy. According to my sources, which, by the way, include congressional staffers working for Democrats and Republicans, DeLay is despised like no other person in Washington, D.C. You know, congressmen and congresswomen from his own party hate him because of his demeanor and the way he's literally extorted votes from them on pet issues. He threatens to blackball anyone in his own party who goes against him on any vote. And, you know, that's not endeared him to his fellow Republicans, not one bit. And I'd be lying if I said that I was not very pleased with DeLay's indictment. You know, I'll tell you straight up, I won't sit here in this chair and lie to you like some people will on TV. I'm absolutely thrilled that somebody has finally decided to stand up to him and expose him for being the lying, no-good political bastard that he is. Frankly, I'm ecstatic over it. And I hope and pray that he gets what's coming to him, every bit of it. You know, you want to call and defend old Tom DeLay? Give us a call. Love to hear from you. 888-602-7500-7501-7502-03-04. Going to go to Julio in Fort Myers. Hi, Julio.
Hey, what's up, guy?
Oh, lots.
Yeah. Like you said about Russian Hannity, how would you like to be them the last couple of weeks? I mean, you have to wake up every single day and read the newspapers and think, that how in the hell am I going to defend this? Like, what are these people doing? Like, what story am I going to come up with? When are they going to send me the talking points so I can, explain these actions? You know, I'm like, first of all, to put it in perspective, okay, and I'm an independent person. Like, I lead more left than I do right, but I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. I'm a registered independent, okay? And the way I see it is, right now you have the top Republican in the House of Representatives under indictment, the top Republican in the Senate under investigation for ethics, the chief of staff of the Bush administration under investigation for leaking the name of a CIA agent, the chief of staff for the Vice President of the United States under investigation for leaking the name of a CIA agent. You know, all I'm waiting for now is for, like, Hannity and Limbaugh to start blaming the negative media, you know, for focusing on the negative. You know what I'm saying? For focusing on the negative of what's going on instead of the positive. You know, and then you look at it and like, okay, let's focus on the positive. Let's look at the positive reaction to the federal response to Katrina. Oops, you know, we can't talk about that. Or the positives about Iraq. Oops, you know, we can't talk about that either. And it's like, again, I ask, what exactly could a person who voted for Bush look back and say over the last year? This is what I voted for him for. This is the reason why I wanted him to be president.
Well, yeah. You said a mouthful.
Yeah, and about Bill Bennett, you know, first of all, I've been discriminated before, you know what I'm saying, because of my ethnicity. You know, and I'm pretty good at telling a racist pig when I see one, okay? When I saw that guy on TV the other night, I thought I was going to start hearing him squeal. Okay, first of all, I heard the entire call. Okay, because Hannity played it on his show, and I heard what Hannity played. Okay, unless I missed the part that said, you know, everything you are about to hear is a joke, and don't take it seriously, I'm sorry. Okay, but that man basically said that if you remove black people from this country, or just if there were less of them, that there would be less crime.
Right.
Okay, that's what he said, and they're trying to turn it into an abortion thing. I'm like, I could care less about the abortion. Let's say he didn't say abortion. Let's say he said, if we deported black people from this country, there would be less crime. Okay, that's the equivalent of what he said. Okay, and for to hear all these people defending him, okay, it shows me, you know, what it's all about. You know, a couple weeks ago when the Katrina thing happened, and you see all these black people stranded on the bridge, and you have all these people trying to explain to you that, no, there's no racism, there's nothing wrong. And then you hear a man who was high up in the Reagan administration, you know, putting his racist comments, like, out in the open, you know, for everyone to see. And then for someone to say, no, you know, there's no racism, you know, it's just your imagination. You know, it's sickening.
Well, it's all hypothetical, you know.
Yeah. And that's the thing, it's like, dude, the guy said, okay, like I said, I could care less about the abortion. He said, it's true. He said, it's true that if you eliminate black people, there would be less crime. It would be reprehensible, but it's true.
Right.
Yeah. That's what he said. You know?
Yeah.
And abortion is just a means to do it. If he could have said, well, if we put them all in a firing line and eliminate all black people, that's it. We have less crime. There would be no problem. You know, what if somebody came out and said, you know what, if we just eliminate all Arabs, there would be less terrorism?
Sure. Yeah. Well, you know, the only thing separating him from the Klan was a white sheet. I mean, that's it. That statement was above and beyond. His own administration, who hasn't admitted anybody was ever wrong,
exactly,
has distanced himself.
Yeah, and that's what I would love for someone to ask Hannity or Limbaugh. Dude, the administration said that he's out of line. Do you disagree with them? Are you saying that they're part of the liberal media?
Yeah.
Well, take it easy, guys. Have a good weekend.
Hey, thanks for calling, Julio. Good to hear from you.
You know, the one thing that I think a lot of people are forgetting is that, statistically speaking, for every 5 Latinos or black people that are in jail right now, there are 2 white people in jail, because on the streets, statistically speaking, and for every 2 Latinos or blacks involved in a crime, there are 5 involved in the same crime. I'm talking right now about drugs and whatnot.
Mm, yeah, yeah. You know, there's so much that goes into this. So much that goes into the crime figures. And Bennett, you know, Bill, let me read you something about Bill Bennett. You want to know what kind of a guy Bill Bennett is? You want to know how Bill Bennett thinks? I want to read you a quick little story here from Bill Bennett. And this is from Reed Hunt, who was the chairman of the Federal Communications, the FCC, from 93 to 97. He said, when I was chairman of the Federal Communications Commission, I asked Bill Bennett to visit my office. Now, this is the FCC chairman. Now, you pay attention to this. I asked Bill Bennett to visit my office so that I could ask him for help in seeking legislation that would pay for Internet access in all classrooms and libraries in the country. Eventually, Senators Olympia Snowe and Jay Rockefeller, with the White House leadership of President Clinton and Vice President Gore, put that provision in the telecommunications law of 1996, and today nearly 90% of all classrooms and libraries do have such access. The schools covered were public and private. So far, the federal funding actually collected from everyone as part of the phone bill has been matched more or less equally with school district funding to total about $20 billion over the last 7 years. More than 90% of all teachers praise the impact of such technology at their work. At any rate, now remember, this is coming from the former FCC chairman, Reed Hunt. He says, at any rate, since Mr. Bennett had been Secretary of Education, I asked him to support the bill in the crucial stages when we needed Republican allies. He told me that he would not help because he did not want public schools to obtain new funding, new capability, new tools for success. He wanted them, he said, to fail so that they could be replaced with vouchers, charter schools, religious schools, and other forms of private education. Well, I thought at least he's candid about his true views. What kind of a rat would be ahead of the Department of Education would say that he didn't want the public schools to get any more funding? What kind of a low-down rat? So, you know, that segues into what Bill Bennett said right there. He is a racist rat. I don't care what you want to say. There's no way to defend what I just told you right here. There's no way to defend it. He wants to shut down the public education system in this country, starve it to death with no funds. And then he makes a statement like he did this week, and we're all supposed to say that Bill Slot's machine Bennett is a moral guy? Not in my book. He's as low as they get. Anybody who wants to do away with the public education in this country and deny education to a good deal of the youngsters in this country who don't have the money to go to private schools, take away their neighborhood public schools, anybody that's for that, well, that's as anti-American as you can get. And you know why Bill Bennett wants to do that? Because he's got a financial stake in it. That's why. That's why. Ask Jeb Bush if Bill Bennett doesn't have a financial stake in it. Ask Jeb Bush. We're going to go to Alice in Humboldt County. Hi, Alice.
Hi, Guy.
Nice to hear from you, my dear.
Some of us who figured out early just how terrible this administration really is, we wondered what could we do. Some of us decided we would start sending letters to the newspapers and calling radio stations to try to help make everyone aware. You have a great radio show, and you do help to make everybody aware. Stay with it, Guy.
Well, thank you, Alice. We intend to for as long as we possibly can. So long as listeners help us pay for the show, we'll keep it going. That's what
okay.
It's all about.
Okay.
Thank you for calling. Nice to hear from you. And all of you can call at 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. I'm going to talk, as I always do tonight and every night that we're on, I'm going to talk a lot about the Bush administration and some things that I think some of their deeds that are absolutely dastardly. And I don't know how much more we'll talk about Mr. Bill Bennett. I'm hoping someone will call in and defend his statement if you can. I'll listen. But when you couple that with his two-faced style of being a compulsive gambler and, on the other hand, trying to come about as Mr. Righteous, and then wanting to starve the public school system to death, coupled with what he said this week about aborting all the black babies, you have to wonder about a man like that, don't you? Don't you really have to wonder what goes through his mind? Hypothetically speaking, of course, I love the way he got on some of the shows and tried to defend himself. And Hannity's, well, I was talking hypothetically, you know. I was talking hypothetically. Bill, I think America is owed an apology. I think everybody in America is owed an apology because, frankly, I don't think America wants anything to do with a statement like you made. And I know what you said, right? We're going to play the whole thing coming up in the next hour sometime. We'll play the whole thing. We didn't take it out of context. Not at all. I heard what you said after you said it. You said, oh, that would be a morally reprehensible thing to do, but, you know, but he said it first, and it was on his mind. And you know he believes it from other statements he's made. Hey, we're going to pause for a break right now. You are listening to The Guy James Show on the TIB Network. We'll be right back after this.
This is The Guy James Radio Network.
Are you a conservative Republican who believes George W. Bush did the right thing by invading Iraq? Are you in agreement with Mr. Bush when he says, we need to stay the course no matter how long it takes? Do you agree with the President when he says that he will never set any time schedule to pull out our troops? Well, if you agree with all that, then you'll certainly want to help out Mr. Bush by signing up your kids or grandkids for military service today. Yes, just call your local Army, Navy, Air Force, or Marine recruiter and tell them the age and Social Security number of your little Johnny or Susie and make an appointment for a free visit by your local military recruiter. We know that by supporting the President's war, you are a super patriot, and you'll want to be the first on your block to offer up your kids for Mr. Bush's war. Don't worry if you think they're too young. Even if they're only 10 or 11 years old, this war will certainly last long enough for them to get involved. And for the first 15 callers, we're offering absolutely free a CD of the President uttering those famous fighting words, bring 'em on. Yes, this CD will have special meaning to you, especially if your kid is wounded or killed in Iraq. So, call now and get your child or grandchild registered today. Just call 1-800-TAKE-MY-KID. That's 1-800-TAKE-MY-KID.
This is a very sensitive subject. Not good. It's bad. Yeah. From the moment I heard Barbara say I had a son, I knew that I'd be safe cause I'd never be alone. We GOPers shouldn't speak a lot about our feelings. Both hurt and pain don't make us too appealing. I'd hope Junior would look up to me, run the business of the family. Have an evil empire just like his dear old dad. Get him out of Vietnam, that doesn't look too bad. Junior should act like he's a good guy. Finish up my war and cover up his lies. Be evil and show no feelings too. Listen to DeChaney, who'll tell him what to do. Junior's in jeopardy. Carl Rove, see? Cut him off. Treat him unfairly. Nothing else matters. Oh, siree. Nothing else but the legacy.
George, what are you doing? Are you, what are you doing, George?
Sorry there, Dick. Just,
What, George, what are you doing?
Singing my son a little something. Well, you'll get to see it. Hopefully you'll get a chance to see it. Know what you're all about.
You and I.
True that, true that.
Just the two.
Woo!
Just the two.
You have a product.
you have a service. You want to tell people about your product or service, but you're afraid of being taken down a long road of expenses with no ride back. I'm Johnny Johnson, president of J2K, producers of The Guy James Show. Every week, we're called on to help businesses present their products and services to consumers by radio, video, and web. Businesses like yours. Visit us on the web at j2kproductions.com. That's J, the number 2, the letter K, productions.com. Driven to succeed.
Do you have a business or product that might benefit from a little national attention?
You're going to like this.
Are you interested in having Guy James talk about your product or service?
Well, this is it.
Contact Gene Charles today at 239-405-0355 or online at guyjames@theguyjamesshow.com. Southwest Florida, your official lie detector is here. Now, your wait is over. This is the Guy James Show. Commercials off. The Guy James Show on the Democrat Radio Network.
Oh, yes. You're back. We're back. You're back. We're all back with the Guy James Show. I'm glad to have you along with us this evening. We've got a lot to talk about. Before I go any further, I want to mention something that just came to my attention that I'm going to touch on briefly, and I promise you I will touch on it a whole lot more during the week, find out what the story is. I've been notified by people here at the station that at least one of our callers has been banned from calling this radio station, and that includes our show, too. And I don't agree with that. Not at all. But I will acquiesce to the wishes because we have people that work for the radio station here that have been told that. I do not work for the radio station. And so I will acquiesce to their demands this week, but we're certainly going to look into it this week because we have never screened calls on this program. We have never kept anybody away, and that's not our policy. I want you to know that. So we will take that up with the proper people this week. You can be assured of that. I promise you a couple of great guests tonight. Judd Legume from the American Progress Action Fund is going to be with us right now. I think we got him on. You with us, Judd?
I'm up right here.
Hey, glad to have you along with us tonight. We pay a lot of attention to your folks as a group at the American Progress Action Fund. And if you're not subscribed to that, all of you, you really ought to get their bulletins that come out every day, and always a great read, and always right on the money. And Judd, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you happen to be with the American Progress Action Fund.
Well, I've been there pretty much since the beginning when we started about 2 years ago. Actually, when I was in law school, I was working as a research assistant for John Podesta, just a former White House chief of staff who started up the organization, and I kind of just stuck with him, and it's been a great time.
Yeah, and John was instrumental. Well, I guess this is his baby, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. This is really he really started up, and he still is at the still the captain of the ship at this point.
Last time I was in Washington for a seminar, we had all the liberal broadcasters in the country. All how many of us? Not very many of us. All there, and John spoke to us there in the Russell Building. I think you were probably there as well that day, and. John Podesta is a brilliant guy, and this is a great organization, and we're glad to have you along with us this evening. Really ask you on to talk tonight about this this mess with our House Majority Leader, Mr. Tom DeLay, and I know you've got a word or two to say about it. Where do you think we are with this right now?
Well, I think that what's clear that what happened is that the district attorney down in Texas clearly believes that he has evidence which shows that Tom DeLay was part of a conspiracy essentially to launder money into Texas political races. Corporate money is illegal down there. And there was a PAC that he set up was involved in funneling the corporate money into those races anyway through a kind of a complex scheme involving the Republican Party. And So he believes he has evidence there. He indicted him, or the grand jury indicted him, and now the legal process is going to start. He's going to be arraigned October 21st, and this thing's going to get started.
Well, and it sounds like the Republican spin and attack machine is in, well, they're going all out so far. They're in warp speed attacking attacking the prosecutor already. They're working him over pretty hard.
Yeah, it's definitely the full pedal to the metal against Ronnie Earl, the prosecutor there. The problem is that the criticism doesn't hold up that much. This public integrity unit that prosecutes this kind of thing, Ronnie Earl's been there for 30 years. He's prosecuted about four times as many Democrats as Republicans during that time. So this isn't a guy who's really motivated by partisanship, at least as far as his record goes. And he's quite popular down there in Texas. He was elected with 83% of the vote. So there's clearly a lot of Republicans and Democrats who support him.
And by some of his political foes down there, at least in the legal community, I've heard that they called him a Boy Scout because he is so moral and righteous in everything he does.
That's right. That seems to be, when you really look at this guy and his history, he really seems to care about these rules, the campaign finance rules in Texas, and trying to get corporate money out of the process. He really believes in it, and I think he takes it seriously, and that's really what appears to be motivating him, and he's going after Democrats and Republicans alike who he thinks violate these rules.
Well, Judge, you know what the criticisms are so far. Number one, they're saying, well, they're not real Democrats that he prosecuted. They're just very conservative. They're really Republicans. There are no, you know, that they've come up with that one so far, which is laughable.
Yeah.
Secondly, I think you'd have a hard time saying there were no Democrats in Texas with Lyndon Baines Johnson having evolved from there. But the one point that they're coming up with on this that they're trying to make hay on is the fact that he fined these companies who have illegally donated the money a goodly sum of money, and they're trying to they're really trying to roast him with that, to saying, oh, he put it in his own private little his own private charities and this and that. That's not what it was about, was it?
We mean as far as DeLay's conduct?
Well, the companies that illegally donated, he made them pay up.
Mm-hmm.
He made them pay fines, more or less, pretty much the same as the tobacco companies right now are paying for all the anti-tobacco ads on TV. To me, it amounts to the same thing.
Yeah, I think that he's certainly gone after the companies, and I think that, you know, it could be that the companies are what's driving this. Somebody in one of the corporations may be ready to talk about DeLay's role and his involvement, so that could be playing a big part.
Well, they say he's so righteous that he indicted himself one time and paid a fine. He found out he had done something that was a little bit wrong against the rules, and he paid, I think it was a $200 fine, but he brought it up himself. So I don't think we can say that this guy is anybody that's willing to let anything go by and just for political gain. He's been consistent, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think you really hit the nail right on the head there. This is a guy who's really a stickler for the rules. So the idea that he would indict someone unless he thought this person had really, he has evidence that this person committed a crime, doesn't seem like he's the kind of guy who would do it. He really likes to play inside the lines and follow the rules.
And, of course, they're bringing up the situation with he prosecuted Kay Bailey Hutchinson long ago and lost the case. I don't know what that has to do with this one. I mean, all prosecutors lose a case now and then, but they're saying, well, he had nothing on her, therefore he's got nothing on Tom DeLay.
Yeah, that was a complicated situation with Kay Bailey Hutchinson, and as it turned out, when he got the trial, he had some key evidence, and he wasn't sure whether the judge was going to make it admissible. And so he didn't want to carry forward the case not knowing that. Now, you could quibble with his strategy. Some people say, well, you've always got to have a backup plan if you bring it to court, and maybe he made a mistake not having a backup plan, but I don't think that the conclusion of that can be, well, this is just a partisan hack. He doesn't have any respect for the law. I think this is a guy who's trying his best, and not every prosecution he does is going to be successful, as you say, but that doesn't mean that they're all aren't motivated by the right intentions, which is trying to make sure the law is upheld.
Yeah, you're never going to win them all. And, You know, in his defense, I've read quite a little bit that has been said so far by the grand jury foreman, who's an ex-law officer himself. He said, hey, Earl didn't, he didn't indict this guy. We did. The jury did.
Exactly. And this is really the people in Texas, a jury of his peers who indicted them. And really, when DeLay attacks the process, he's attacking those people, too, and trying to tell, you know, convince people that they're either gullible or ignorant about the law. And I don't think that's accurate. But really what it comes down to is DeLay doesn't want to talk about what he did in his role. He wants to make this about Ronnie Earl. But in the end of the day, it's not about Ronnie Earl. It's not about what he did. It's about what DeLay did. And when he gets into court and that process starts, he's going to have to start focusing on that. He's not going to be able to get out of this just by trying to smear Ronnie Earl. So that's really his biggest problem at this point.
Well, Judge, you're around the halls of Congress a lot more than I am, and some of my sources over on the Republican side tell me that although DeLay is a very powerful leader, and he knows how to get his way and whip everybody into the shape, that personally he's not all that popular with even a lot of Republicans. What do you know about that?
Well, I think that's starting to be more and more the case. I think a lot of people are upset. A lot of people in the Republican caucus are upset at him because he's really marshaled through a lot of big spending. The Medicare prescription drug bill that was passed last year, the costs of that have exploded, a number of other things. So they feel like he's really deviated from kind of the core of fiscal conservatism. And then there's a lot of people who are turned off by his style. And to be honest, I think there's evidence already that his influence is waning. He really wanted David Dreyer, who's the chairman of the Rules Committee, to step in and kind of be a placeholder for him while he deals with the indictment when he stepped down. But that didn't go over well with the caucus. It ended up being Roy Blunt who came in, and he's a guy who DeLay might have find a much harder time prying out of that spot, the majority leader spot, if he does beat this indictment, and that's a big if.
Oh, it had to bother him moving out of his big corner office.
Exactly. He's had to move out. I think his staff is there for the time being, but Roy Blunt is somebody who very much wants that position, has wanted it for a while. DeLay didn't want him there, but he lost out, and I think that before this indictment came down, that wasn't one of the type of things that DeLay would lose on.
Well, you know, Judd, I'm originally a farm boy, and as we would say down on the farm, Tom DeLay, when you look at his career the last 10 or 12 years or so, we'd say out in the country that he's got a lot of stink on him. There's just one thing after another, ethics violations. He's been censured a few times, and that doesn't say a whole lot for the Republicans that they've been willing to slap him on the wrist and let him go each time. But it seems like this pile that's of disgusting things that against him is just getting larger and larger. And I would think that any time now the Republicans would really want to distance themselves from him.
Yeah, and I think you are finding more and more people saying that we shouldn't wrap ourselves around Tom DeLay and go down with him, and that could create more problems for DeLay. The one thing that kind of got lost in the shuffle is that the Ethics Committee in the House is supposed to be starting investigating DeLay on an entirely separate issue, his trips to Scotland and other far-off places, golf trips that were financed, some say, improperly by corporations. And so that's a whole separate problem for DeLay that's supposed to be starting, that's gotten delayed, but you could see that happening at the same time. So there are, as you say, a whole number of fronts where DeLay finds himself in trouble.
And up until now, when he's probably had his wings clipped a bit, he's been powerful enough that he's been able to keep that committee pretty much the way he wanted it, staffed with whom he wanted on it, so he knew he was never going to get hit too hard by him. But now that may well change.
Yeah, he already had to. At first they wanted to allow essentially a partisan staff in there to have the people who are doing the investigation be partisan. They tried that. The Democrats protested and refused to organize the committee. And eventually they conceded and put in some nonpartisan people, at least at the helm of things. But after that, things have kind of stalled. But we'll see what happens in the weeks and months ahead.
Well, let me ask for your prediction. This isn't a fair question. Where do you think this is going to go?
I, my feeling, and this is just speculation because obviously I don't know any more details.
That's all we can do.
Than been in public. But the fact of the matter is, Ronnie Earl wasn't planning on indicting DeLay. The best I can figure is that he got some compelling evidence late in the game that he thinks is going to be able to convict Tom DeLay of a conspiracy. He's got somebody who's willing to talk about DeLay's role. He's got or documentary evidence about DeLay's role that he thinks is going to stick. So my feeling is that DeLay could be in a lot of trouble, might have a real hard time beating this, but we're going to have to wait and see how that plays out.
Yeah, because as I understand it, the original charges he wanted to get on him, were it ended up being like more of a federal case, and he couldn't do anything about it on the state level.
Yeah, there was a lot of issues with the jurisdiction where certain types of charges would only be allowed in DeLay's home district, which is Fort Bend County next door. But this type of charge, which is a conspiracy, he was able to do. So, yeah, something happened. He's got some information, and we're going to have to wait and see what it is. But I think DeLay is nervous, and that's why you see him trying to really attack the messenger.
Boy, isn't it interesting to see somebody wanting a really, really speedy trial for a change instead of trying to drag things out and play the stall game.
Yeah, well, because this in limbo, DeLay realizes that he doesn't. There's no benefit for him, so he's going to have to get the trial and roll the dice and see what he can do. He's hired some very expensive, very powerful Texas lawyers, so he's going to have every available legal argument on his side, and he's going to see if he can beat it. And you know, you never know. He very well may be able to, but he's definitely eager to get this over with one way or another.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's going to hurt him in his own. He only won the last time, I think, what, 55-45, which is unusual in his district.
Yeah, he doesn't have, it's not a super safe seat, and certainly when you're under indictment, even if, let's suppose, he gets off and is out of court by then, the fact that this is somebody who's been criminally indicted, that really can't help you as you try to win re-election.
That's for sure, and just a lot of things piling on him right now that doesn't look too good. Judd, give us your website again at the American Progress Action Fund.
You can go right to progressreport.org, and that'll get you the newsletter, so that's where to go.
Yeah, we hope everybody signs on to that. It's a wonderful newsletter. They got a great staff there, and Mr. Podesta has done a great job getting that all together, and you and Christy and everybody doing a wonderful job. Judd, thank you so much for being on our program.
Thanks for having me.
Great to have him along this evening. Judd Legume, again, with the American Progress Action Fund, a John Podesta group. I make no bones about it. It is a partisan think tank. There's no question about that. With John Podesta at the helm, you might figure that it would be, but I defy you to find anything on their website that's hearsay or not the truth. He's very, very good at doing that. So the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, as we always say that we want to bring you on this program. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 03, and 04. We've got some Republican love letters coming up for you a little later this evening. You're gonna love that. And coming up, I believe, in the 7 o'clock hour, we've got Bernard Weiner from the Crisis Papers, Professor Bernard Weiner, the Crisis Paper, and he's going to talk about the arguments for an impeachment resolution. A lot of people think it's possible. A lot of people think that the Bush administration just digging their hole deeper and deeper and deeper all the time. So it might be interesting to see how that's going to turn out. I know I'm certainly waiting with, as they say, bated breath. I hope all my right-wing listeners will pay close attention to what I'm about to tell you. I found this probably the most fascinating statement I heard all week. I know we had the Roberts thing this week and all the speculation about who's going to be the nominee for Associate Justice now that Roberts is the Chief Justice of the United States. And don't make that mistake, folks. Don't call him the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. He's the Chief Justice of the United States. That is his title. With all his various duties, and that was big news this week. The DeLay thing, the Savavian thing, and Judith Miller getting out of jail, and all these things are very important.
The Chief Justice of the United States actually swears in the president, doesn't he?
Yes, he most certainly
That's
does.
One of his major roles.
That's one of his jobs, and then every 4 years, the other 3 years, 11 months, and 29 days, you can just sit around and be the Chief Justice. Not really. The guys are actually pretty busy, from what I hear. But despite all the things that happened this week, what I've, and I hope, I do hope, like I said, all my right-wing listeners will pay close attention to what I'm about to tell you. This is a lesson on the veracity of the Bush administration, and my point here is that these guys, including the president, will tell you anything to make their point, and it doesn't matter how untrue or ridiculous their statement happens to be. Take this, for example, and I can't believe that every news organization in America didn't take this week and just run with it. I'm shocked that they didn't. On September 28th, Wednesday? Mr. Bush said this. I want to quote George W. Bush on September 28th, that's just, 3 days ago, and I quote, "At this moment, more than a dozen Iraqi battalions have completed training and are conducting anti-terrorist operations in Ramadi and Fallujah. More than 20 battalions are operating in Baghdad, and some have taken the lead in operations in major sectors of the city. In total, more than 100 battalions are operating throughout Iraq. Our commanders report that the Iraqi forces are operating with increasing effectiveness." This is a statement by George W. Bush, Jr., 100 battalions operating throughout Iraq. These are of Iraqi troops, okay? Now, I ask you, who would know better what goes on in Iraq, Mr. Bush or General George W. Casey, who happens to oversee all of the U.S. troops in Iraq? I vote for General Casey, and here is what he said about Iraqi troops being ready. He said this the following day after Mr. Bush said there were 100 battalions battle ready. Mr. General Casey, "The number of Iraqi battalions capable of combat without U.S. support has dropped from 3 to 1. Wednesday, Mr. Bush says 100 battalions. And on Thursday, the general in charge of the American troops and the training the Iraqis says the number of Iraqi battalions capable of combat without U.S. support has dropped from 3 to 1. That statement dropped from 3 to 1. That alarms me. Doesn't it alarm you? We're supposed to be going the other way. We're supposed to be training these people and getting out of here, and the administration says, "Oh, we're getting these people trained," and you know where the numbers has been. The numbers have been from 150,000 to 3,000 to 12,000 to 200,000 to 6,000. Did you get that? The American general in charge of our troops in Iraq says the number of Iraqi troops trained and ready for battle actually dropped from 3 battalions to 1. Does that sound like we're getting out of there anytime soon? Does that sound like we're able to get out of there anytime soon? Bush says there are 100, and General Casey says there's 1. Now, who's lying here? Which one of these two guys is telling the big fib? Would General Casey say only 1 Iraqi battalion is battle-ready just for the hell of it? Would he do that? Is he just pulling our legs? Or is he telling it like it really is? Now, I don't know that much about General Casey, but after considering all I know about Junior Bush's willingness to tell the truth, and I know a lot about it, and so do you, I think I'll take the general's word over Junior's any old day, wouldn't you? Let's face it. Whether you want to face it or not, it's true. If Junior Bush were Pinocchio, his nose would be the size of the Washington Monument. So Junior says 100 battalions, and the general says 1. It's obvious one of them is lying. Want to guess which one? I think you know, don't you? How do you explain that sort of rhetoric coming out of the administration? I just wonder, how do you do that? How do you do that? How do you explain that if you're on that side of the aisle? Hey, I know politicians are what they are, and they sometimes stretch the truth, and oh, they sometimes stretch it to the breaking point, but boy, these guys are good at it. They're really good at it. I think it takes a lot of gall to say 100 one day and then have the general testify in front of the Armed Services Committee the next day and say 1. Hey, I want to thank some of our contributors while I got a moment here, a moment or two before the top of the hour, people that help keep this show on the road. Ed and Janice Stoll, Lowell Pastor, Elaine Miller, Ed Bernard, Flo Beckler, Marcia Johns, Becky McMahon, Valerie Cribbs, Joe McGuire, Margaret Rizzle, Vince Mosca, Hilda Perry, Mary Kate Ferreira, Shannon Danford, Mary Ashby, George King, Virginia Miller, Ron Q, Ressa Benin, Spence and Rusty Nunley, Peter Burkert, Jason and Gina Alcazar, John Coolidge, Louise Mard, Jim Alexander, Robert and Rosemary Rowe, Patricia Croker, Mary Hesacker, and Kathleen Cassidy. And that's just a partial list of the folks this week. We do hope you'll consider going to our new website, by the way, and I hope you love that website. I sure do. www.theguyjamesshow.com, and thanks to Frank for all the great work he's done on that website. It's new and got a nice new look to it, fresh, and a lot of information on there, keeping it updated every day so that you get the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth from us here on the TIB network. That's right, truth in broadcasting. That's what we're about. You see, you can listen to Right Wing Radio all weekend long, all week long, 24/7, and even on the weekend. And you can hear spin, and you can hear some of these lies that we tell you about. But if you want the truth, we're not about comedy here. I know some of our progressive democratic broadcasters are about comedy. We're not. We're about the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. We have a little levity on this program from now and then. And we try to entertain you now and then. And our Republican friends try and entertain you with their love letters, and I'm going to read them a little later on, a few minutes of Republican love. You're going to love the ones we have tonight. But we need your donations to stay on the air. We ask you for them. I know the folks on PBS do that each and every week, every month or so, however often it is. And we need your donations, too. www.theguyjamesshow.com. We'll be visiting that issue again a little later on in the program. I do want you to stick around. We've got a lot to talk about. We've got a great guest coming up. We've got your calls coming up, and we want to hear from every one of you. You're listening to The Guy James Show on the TIB Truth in Broadcasting Network.
You've been listening to The Guy James Show, America's number one democratic radio talk show, counteracting the melodrama and sarcasm of the radical right. All that's left is the truth. Stay tuned. More of The Guy James Show is on the way. This is The Guy James Show on Wink WNOG.
Ladies and gentlemen, Rush Limbaugh.
They say that I'm sleaze and elitist. You please, everybody disagrees with my rapping. I'm horrendous, I'm appalling. My ratings now are falling because I'm so full of bull, so full of crap. With condescending tribes making money selling lies. You might say everybody hates my guts. I'm offensive, I'm a bigot, I'm a fraud. Can you dig it? I'm a sexist, racist, homophobic, fat, pathetic, cuts.
I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
That's right.
I really am,
because I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
That's right.
You're being scammed.
I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
I don't care about the middle class, because I'm a fat conservative butthead with a face of a horse's ass.
He's a fat conservative butthead.
Hey,
with a face of a horse's ass.
I have a subhuman figure, a huge rear end. My brain? That's another story.
It's quite another
story. I have a face the size of a washtub. And my ass is as big as Missouri. Yes!
His bastard is sick. He's a fat bomb is big. And his ass is as big as Missouri.
Yes, Curry Bob! Manipulating statements, exaggerate the truth. I can't believe they hate my show. It's bias. It's not just because I'm stupid. It's not just because I'm dumb. It's just because Republicans are liars. I am heartless. I am vain, insensitive, insane. They say that I'm a national disgrace. I am nasty, insulting, basically revolting. I'm a concentrated pile of human waste. Because I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
See, I really am, because I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
That's right.
You're being scammed.
I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
I don't care about the middle classes. I'm a sick Republican sleazeball with a face of a horse's ass.
He's a sick Republican sleazeball with a face of a horse's ass.
They say that this is not about my vanity. They doubt my sanity. They think I'm nuts.
So nuts.
I am a cyst on the ass of humanity.
Yeah.
New Republican slogan, read my guts. From the bowels of the
age
comes the voice of Rush Limbaugh. In closing, let me say that each and every day, I'm an evil, rotten, egotistical snob.
Evil, rotten.
I'm the cop of the
McCarthy like Gestapo, the right-wing, foam of the mouth, jack-booted slob, the democratic trasher, years of liberal bashing with the equivalent compassion of a grommet. With the IQ of a fig, I'm a fat, obnoxious pig. And the truth of the matter is, I'm vomit. Because I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
Heil! I really am, because I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
Heil! You're being scammed.
I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi. I don't care about the middle class, because I'm a fear-mongering scumbag with the face of a horse's ass.
He's a fat conservative,
buckhead. Hey, sick Republican sleazeball. Fear-mongering scumbag.
Oh.
Egotistical ass bite. Mean-spirited, hum-wallering fat conservative toss.
With the face
of a horse's ass.
Make a dildo, Rush.
Southwest Florida, your official lie detector is here. Now, your wait is over. This is the Guy James Show. Democratic Radio is on the air now.
Country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream today.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show. America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Now here's Guy James.
Ah, yes, sitting here in the world headquarters of the TIB Network. Glad to have you along with us this evening. The Guy James Show, bringing you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Maybe more truth than you want to hear, but you're going to hear it whether you want to or not. We don't know how to lie on this program. Just not something we do. I don't care what the DNC would send and ask me to do. If it wasn't true, I wouldn't say it. And as we all know, the talking points that come out of the RNC every day, you know what happens on the right-wing talk shows. and let me give an example. Some of these guys will defend. I don't care what happened. If if Charles Manson was in there, they'd defend him. I mean, that's just how it is. That's how crazy it really is. Your Hannity and your Limbaugh, they would defend him no matter what. And while I do admire loyalty as a great trait in someone, I consider that a wonderful trait in somebody, loyalty to that point that you're going to lie your ass off for somebody, I don't know. That doesn't say much for your character, I don't think. So we will not lie for anybody, and no Democrat would we lie for or anybody else. But I want to just give you an example of the kind of spin that goes on each week. Johnny, if you can play me that quote of Mr. Limbaugh telling about how Mr. Bennett was taken out of context.
This Democrat hack website, which has become a source authority for the liberal media, puts an out-of-context, incomplete version of what Bennett said. And, of course, this place is required reading of the staff of Senator Harry Reid and Ted Kennedy in the mainstream press. Oh, look what Bennett said the other day. Look, man, here come their statements. And then, of course, the media says, whoa, what do you think about what Bennett, blah, blah, blah.
But, you know, one of the arguments in this book, Freakonomics, that they make is that the declining crime rate, you know, this they deal with this hypothesis, that one of the reasons crime is down is that abortion is up. Well,
I don't think that statistic is accurate.
Well, I don't think it is either. I don't think it is either because, first of all, I think there's just too much that you don't know. But I do know that it's true that if you wanted to reduce crime, you could, if that were your sole purpose, you could abort every black baby in this country and your crime rate would go down.
Stop the tape!
Stop the tape, the man says. Now, Limbaugh is going to go on to say they took that out of context on MediaMatters.com. They took it out of context, those dirty Democrat rats. They took it out of context. Johnny, I lifted the exact file off of MediaMatters.com that Limbaugh says was quoted out of context, and let's just play it and see if they did leave anything out of it.
I would not argue for the pro-life position based on this, because you don't know. I mean, it cuts both. You know, one of the arguments in this book, Freakonomics, that they make is that the declining crime rate, you know, this they deal with this hypothesis, that one of the reasons crime is down is that abortion is up. Well,
I don't think that statistic is accurate.
Well, I don't think it is either. I don't think it is either because, first of all, I think there's just too much that you don't know. But I do know that it's true that if you wanted to reduce crime, you could, if that were your sole purpose, you could abort every black baby in this country and your crime rate would go down. That would be an impossible, ridiculous, and morally reprehensible thing to do. But your crime rate would go down. So,
that's good enough, Johnny. I think you get the drift now. That was not edited. Not at all. Media Matters had the whole text up there, and here we had Mr. Pills Limbaugh. Maybe he was having one of those drug-induced fits of his. Maybe his ears are still bad to where he's taking so much of that OxyContin that he can't really hear everything that's on Media Matters. But it's quite obvious to anybody that wants to take a look, did take a look, still wants to go take a look at Media Matters, that the whole statement is there. Even the hypothesized part of it at the end, it's all there. Nothing was taken out of context, and yet we have Rush Limbaugh telling his millions of listeners, oh, they took it out of context and, you know, boiled Mr. Bennett in oil here. This is terrible what they've done. They didn't do anything to Bill Bennett. They repeated what he said. That's all. He deserves everything he gets. So there we have Rush Limbaugh, liar of the week, one more time, trying to tell everybody that this left-wing Media Matters organization took that out of context when they did no such thing. And if you don't believe me, and you're one of the right-wingers that believes everything that comes out of Limbaugh's fat mouth, you just take a look at www.mediamatters.com, and you will find the entire clip of what Bennett said right there. Not edited, like Limbaugh said. Not edited. Limbaugh, liar again. We got Juanita in Winter Haven. Hi, Juanita.
This ties in with Bill Bennett and all their ilk. did you see the war rally last Sunday?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I accidentally turned it on, and the blonde woman was on there. She was a nice-looking lady. She was a really good speaker and all, but she had all the points, you know, all the sound bite.
Oh, yeah, all the talking
points. That's the liberal media and so forth. And did you hear her say that, well, she's supposed to be the mother of a Marine. Did you hear her say that she wanted to put all the marchers on the SS Ronald Reagan?
Oh, yeah.
Send them to Iran?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know why they picked Iran. I guess I missed that. And somebody in the audience said to send Cindy Sheehan there, too. And she said, yeah. But the point I wanted to make was, you know, I've been listening for so long, years in fact, about what they say about people like us, you know, liberals, what they say about us. And it reminds me of a movie that I saw, a propaganda movie that I saw. I'm a World War II buff, and it was from Nazi Germany, and it was about the Jews and comparing them to rats. It showed a bunch of rats and about how you had to eliminate the vermin. And to me, I think it's brainwashing the public in general, you know, the ones that don't know any better or don't know how to think for themselves or have hate, you know. You know what I'm saying?
I think you're exactly right, Juanita. And you know, I want to be fair to everybody. I don't necessarily say that everybody that believes this stuff is stupid. We've got a lot of people that got two people in the family working. They don't have time to sit down and read the details, so they depend on sound bites. They depend on the headlines from the newspaper. They may tune into Fox News and get a little sound bite there and swallow it, you know, because that's all the time they have. That's some of it.
Right.
Some of it is blind stupidity. But
don't you think that could be the start of something? I mean, it's starting, you know, something.
Well, sure. They're taking, like, Absolutely. They're taking advantage of the situation. That's exactly, you know, somebody, you know, they hate to hear that name brought up, but he makes such a wonderful example. Adolf Hitler and Goebbels and those people, they knew how to manipulate people, and they wrote the book on it. And now, you know, American politicians later on are, you know, they're perfecting it, and it's, and it's wrong. It's
so
just wrong.
On their side.
Yeah, and I, you know, I don't want anybody doing it. I don't want my Democratic politicians trying to tell me that black is white when it isn't. I don't want the Republicans doing it either. I don't want it. And damn it, I'm gonna fight against that. That's one of the things this show's about, is bringing the truth into people and not living on sound bites and so forth.
Have you noticed that the most of the leaders in the Republican Party, such as DeLay and all of those folks? Have you ever watched a show, the people that were on Hitler's staff? They just remind me so much of those people.
Well, there's some...
I don't mean that. I mean, I'm serious.
Well, in every generation, there are people who come along that'll manipulate and massage the public into doing what they want them to do, and we've got them. Every generation's had them, and it's a sorry situation that the public allows themselves to be herded like cattle like that. But it's the truth. We need to thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Nice to hear from you. I'm gonna run up to Vermont here right now. We're gonna hear from Eric, and he's gonna talk about the C-SPAN coverage of the rally. How did you like the right-wing talkers this past Monday? Of course, they said exactly what we thought they would. There was a bunch of hippie, dirty hippies up there with their Volkswagen buses and smoking pot. And there was, I heard anywhere from 200 to 4,000. It was the most I heard. And my God, if any of you have seen the picture, you know what the actual numbers were. Eric, are you with us?
Yes, sir, I am. I was waiting for you to finish off with your intelligence.
Well, I'm glad you called, but I happen to know, after reading a really fine account of yours of being there last week and getting saddle sores from riding the bus all the way up there for 10 hours. Why don't you give us an in depth review of how that went last week?
Well, it's hard to give an in depth review because I was like I was hearing AP when I got back. Tens of thousands. I said, okay, fine, that's kind of crazy. And then I heard the police chief of Washington, D.C. say something around 100,000. Somebody's like prompted him up to maybe 150,000. All I know is that we were waiting. I was marching with the Veterans for Peace, a chapter from Vermont, and actually what had happened is we were waiting for 2 to 2.5 hours because the lines were so backlogged with people marching past the White House and the full 3.5 route that we couldn't even get started into getting into the stream of marching down there before they had returned because the roads were so, or the streets were so filled up. I've heard any estimates between, up on a little bit crazy levels, maybe 600,000, but I think that's a little bit... idealistically hopeful.
I think it's a little high.
I would
high.
Say realistically, maybe 200, 250,000 would be extremely realistic with what I was seeing there and with reports I have been desperately trying to gather through whatever sources realistically that I could find.
I think the pictures that I've seen from the air that I'd have to agree with you in the 2 to 250 range would be right on the mark.
Don't know. As I said on the phone last week, I was on the bus, I was dead beat, and I wasn't tall enough to see all the people, but boy, there was a whole bunch of them.
Well, what was the mood? Describe the mood to me. What did you think of your group?
Very positive. Very positive. I know at one time I was sitting by Camp Casey, and I went by the crosses, and I took a little time to myself, and I was thinking that I saw the crosses, and I saw the Star of David here and there, and other religious symbols to edify, you know, the fallen soldiers that we have gone through because of the lies of Bush, and
that kind of hits you.
I had to go past the lies of Bush, and I just said, "These are people." I said, "Well, maybe some of them would have died, you know, from normal everyday events had they not been sent to Iraq." And then I sat there and said, But you know, 99% of them more than likely would still be living, breathing the air that we breathe in this United States if it hadn't been for some of the stupid-ass reasons that we were having them sent over to defend something that didn't make any sense at all.
Young, vibrant,
crying,
healthy people.
I had to hold myself back. I know that I spent all day Saturday pretty much pretty depleted of energy and intermittently crying throughout the day. In terms of the reason why I called, I'd like to get on with the news media conference if it was possible.
Yeah.
I was very, very, very discouraged. At 12 o'clock on Sunday, they did the, I won't say the pro-war group, because I don't want to antagonize anybody that might be offended by that politically correct or incorrect terminology. But I was extremely, extremely disappointed that C-SPAN did not cover anything other than the ANSWER people on Saturday. I thought that was a total obliteration of any sort of responsive, equal and fair and balanced news reporting on C-SPAN's part. I sent them an email on that regard. There was nothing that was going on there except for an umbrella group. There was like 6, 7, 8, 9 groups underneath, and I'm not saying I'm agreeing or disagreeing with any of those people within those groups. I'm just saying that that is not what happened on Saturday on the 24th of September. And I am very, extremely disappointed with the coverage that C-SPAN, to say less about the other liberal mainstream media reporting that event on the 24th of September in D.C. last Saturday.
You know, Eric, it's almost like, and I saw some of it, it's almost like C-SPAN decided that they could have one camera there, and they'd had to pick out one place to put it, and that's where they stuck it for the day. They didn't make no attempt to cover the rest of it.
It was disgusting. It was really disgusting. I saw very little camera coverage of anything going on there. There was a helicopter over us as we were in stage to start marching, and it kept huffing around and so on and so forth. That was the only aerial shot that I, from the ground that I saw. I didn't see any big bands or anything else and so on and so forth. It's really strange, though, that I found that Cindy Sheehan, through the deliberate act of civil disobedience, received more coverage on the news media than all the people on Saturday that marched to protest against a immoral and unethical war that this administration has effected.
I couldn't agree more. What do you think? Was it successful?
I think it's a piecemeal. It's a statement. Unfortunately, as I go back to the media coverage, a lot of people don't know what really happened there.
Right.
And if they saw C-SPAN said the ANSWER, or the answer people, was what was going on Saturday, there are a lot of Americans that are going to be extremely deceived by the media to think that's what happened, and that was a lie.
And, of course, our friends Hannity and Limbaugh and all them, they helped that line right along when they came along on Monday saying it was a bunch of dirty, unwashed hippies in their Volkswagen vans, and that's all it was. I've seen a lot of pictures of it, and it looked like a cross-section of Mr. and Mrs. America to me in that rally. Yeah, you had your people from one end of the spectrum to the other, but it looked like a real cross-section of America.
It was. It was grandmothers. I have a CD, and I'm going to send it to you. I mean, it's not very good. I'm not a great photographer, but, I mean, grandmothers, and everybody from A to Z, age-wise. There's a little girl that put a Democrats for 2006 bumper sticker on a Washington, D.C. police vehicle. There was a man who had gone to the wall for Vietnam, and he was a Vietnam combat veteran, and he wore the Vermont Says No to War T-shirt that we in our group had. That's all it was. Not terribly inciting in terms of being a very terrible statement to make, and he had that on, and he also had a poster which said the same thing, and they wouldn't let him be there anymore after he had spent time honoring his brothers that had died in Vietnam that he spent time with after viewing the wall, and they kicked him out. In another incident, there was a mother and a daughter of 8 years old that went to the Ronald Reagan building with the Vermont T-shirts on that said, Vermont says no against to war, says no to war. And in the Ronald Reagan building, they were not allowed to enter the building unless they changed and got into a uniform or a dress code that would be appropriate for entering the Ronald Reagan building, basically for purposes of walking in there and utilizing certain facilities.
Amazing.
And so much for our First Amendment
rights. Didn't know there was an official dress code for certain buildings in Washington, D.C., did you?
I beg your pardon?
I didn't know there was an official dress code for certain buildings in Washington, D.C.
Well, this it wasn't like it was just said, up your nose, Bush, or anything else. It just says, Vermont says no to war, period.
How much
they were
more?
Not allowed in there.
That's pretty innocuous, if you ask me. That's a friendly statement, a statement of fact. Eric, I thank you so much. I'm looking forward to hearing you sending your email with your second installment of how everything went that week. We've got a board full of callers here, and I got to move on. It's great to hear from you because I know I can depend on you for telling it exactly like it is and how it was there, and I appreciate your call.
Well, good luck for your future.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye.
Good to hear from you. We're going to go to John in Fort Myers. Hi, John.
Well, good evening. Well, to get started here, may I say something as stupid as Bill Bennett said just to give people a laugh?
It'd have to be pretty stupid.
Well, it wouldn't be so much crime if there weren't so many laws.
Yeah, that's the right. You're on the same page.
You know, you talk about demonstrations here, and I happened to catch public television. They were doing a series of the 60s and 70s history and so forth, and I happened on it. I didn't watch it from the beginning, but they showed a lot of stuff that went on in the 60s. Of course, the Vietnam War, the demonstrations against Hubert Humphrey's nomination in Chicago, and protests about the war and all this kind of stuff. And I concluded after I saw that show, the problem we have today is we just don't have good demonstrations like that. You know, a little burning effigies and destroying some property might get some attention to these guys, and they might pay more attention to what people have got to say. But, boy, we had good demonstrations back in those days.
Oh, you better believe it. Hell no, we won't go and all.
Exactly. And, you know, I did watch C-SPAN and some of this demonstration last week, and I thought, they're getting everybody and their uncle with their favorite cause in here. They weren't focused exactly on the war. They were bringing up other gripes they've got, and we can't have demonstrations like that.
Exactly. Lack of focus.
I want to talk about these battalions that are so important that you discussed earlier.
Yes.
I saw John McCain at these hearings, and you know, that man, I had a lot of respect for him, and I still do have respect for him because he served. He was a prisoner of war for 5 years. And incidentally, in a Wall Street Journal, right inside the middle somewhere, hidden away, he's got an amendment to some kind of legislation for better treatment of these prisoners we're holding. There's 118 on a hunger strike in Guantanamo. 20 or so are on IVs because they just won't eat, and they don't want any of these guys to die. But they put this on some piece of legislation. It may or may not pass, and if it does pass, they say then the next step is it may not get past the president. And I wish McCain would quit beating around the bush with those people up there. He got hot with them about, wait, you're saying we had three battalions, now we got one battalion? And as you pointed out, the president said we've got hundreds of battalions.
Oh, yeah.
So, do you know how many men is in a battalion?
No.
Well, see, this is the sad part. It sounds big.
Well, it's not.
There's only 200.
Yeah, I mean, some people say 200. I've never been able to arrive at an exact number that the Army say this is official, this is how many's in a battalion.
Yeah. So, and we got one battalion of 200 men. What the hell does that mean over in Iraq? And then we don't know how many of them are infiltrators from the Al-Qaeda or whoever, whatever group wants to go against us over there. So people, you know, they've just got to wake up. This war was all about Rumsfeld wanting to have a war, period. That's it. I heard Batchelor's show. He had a guy on that was saying there's a lot of Bush jokes coming out from Republicans now, which I think that's probably a bad sign for George Bush. Would you like to hear three before I go?
Well, we've got to move quickly.
Okay. After the slow and inadequate response to Katrina, President Bush says he won't engage in finger-pointing, doesn't want to poke himself in the eye.
And I'll just let you go with that one. I've got a couple others.
Thanks so much for your call, John.
Sir.
Good to hear from you. We're going to run out to San Jose, California. Mike, are you with us?
Hey, guy. Bush Eats Beef. How you doing?
How are you this evening?
Well, pretty good. How about yourself?
Good.
Wanted to talk to you briefly about the Bill Bennett thing. I think that Al Franken hit the nail on the head last night when he said that the real issue here is that Bennett put crime and black people on the same level. He made them synonymous. And that's really what's underneath this statement. And if he's too damn stupid to understand that that's why people are reacting, maybe he's too stupid to be on radio. You know? I don't know. I think that really is the source of why people got upset, and I think that's why people are looking for an apology, and that's probably the reason why he won't give one.
Oh, he's totally unapologetic over it. I mean, it's in your face. I'm not going to say I'm sorry. I meant what I said, and you know, even his explanation of it contains some lies as well. But he's not going to say it.
Yeah, it's just the whole thing with the Bush administration and never admitting a mistake and whatever. And, you know, Bush went out after Katrina and, you know, well, if the response to Katrina was less than what it should have been, I accept responsibility for that. You know, if.
Yeah, and what he was saying, if the response to Katrina wasn't what I'll accept responsibility, but that's a big if, and, you know, I doubt I'll have to take any responsibility. You know, that's they're not really going to take any responsibility for anything. And then you've got his flying back and forth, what, 7-8 times now? What a joke. What a joke that is, trying to resurrect his legacy. It's a joke.
Last thing before I go, Guy, I don't know if you've mentioned Frist yet. I've been kind of in and out of the room here, but they're floating stuff out on Ross' story about how Frist may walk on this thing because of emails that he sent back in April and saying that he was kind of the under the wire of having insider info or whatever. So my gut is telling me probably that maybe DeLay will get slapped, but I don't see it happening for Frist.
You know, who knows what's going to happen? I think you're right. It's a tough one to prove. They got it on Martha Stewart, all right, and let's see how deep they dig on Bill Frist. Hey, thanks for your call, Mike.
Take care, guys. Bye.
Good to hear from you. Hey, you're listening to Guy James Show on the Truth and Broadcasting Network, broadcasting to all of our Truman Democrats. Glad to hear from you this evening, and we're going to be back right after a few words.
This is the Guy James Radio Network.
Are you a conservative Republican who believes George W. Bush did the right thing by invading Iraq? Are you in agreement with Mr. Bush when he says, we need to stay the course no matter how long it takes? Do you agree with the president when he says that he will never set any time schedule to pull out our troops? Well, if you agree with all that, then you'll certainly want to help out Mr. Bush by signing up your kids or grandkids for military service today. Yes, just call your local Army, Navy, Air Force, or Marine recruiter and tell them the age and Social Security number of your little Johnny or Susie and make an appointment for a free visit by your local military recruiter. We know that by supporting the president's war, you are a super patriot, and you'll want to be the first on your block to offer up your kids for Mr. Bush's war. Don't worry if you think they're too young, even if they're only 10 or 11 years old. This war will certainly last long enough for them to get involved. And for the first 15 callers, we're offering absolutely free a CD of the president uttering those famous fighting words, bring 'em on. Yes, this CD will have special meaning to you, especially if your kid is wounded or killed in Iraq. So call now and get your child or grandchild registered today. Just call 1-800-TAKE-MY-KID. That's 1-800-TAKE-MY-KID.
This is a very sensitive subject. Not good. It's bad. Yeah. From the moment I heard Barbara say I had a son, I knew that I'd be safe cause I'd never be alone. We GOPers shouldn't speak a lot about our feelings. Both hurt and pain don't make us too appealing. I'd hope Junior would look up to me, run the business of the family. Have an evil empire just like his dear old dad. Get him out of Vietnam, that doesn't look too bad. Junior should act like he's a good guy. Finish up my war and cover up his lies. Be evil and show no feelings too. Listen to Dick Cheney, who'll tell him what to do. Junior's in jeopardy. Carl Rove, see? Cut him off. Treat him unfairly. Nothing else matters. No siree. Nothing else but the legacy.
George, what are you doing? Are you, what are you doing, George?
Sorry there, Dick. Just,
George, what are you doing?
Singing my son a little something. But you'll get to see it. Hopefully you'll get a chance to see it. Know what you're all about.
You and I.
True that, true that.
Just the two.
You have a product. You have a service. You want to tell people about your product or service, but you're afraid of being taken down a long road of expenses with no ride back. I'm Johnny Johnson, president of J2K, producers of The Guy James Show. Every week, we're called on to help businesses present their products and services to consumers by radio, video, and web. Businesses like yours. Visit us on the web at j2kproductions.com. That's J, the number 2, the letter K, productions.com. Driven to succeed.
Do you have a business or product that might benefit from a little national attention?
You're going to like this.
Are you interested in having Guy James talk about your product or service?
Well, this is it.
Contact Gene Charles today at 239-405-0355 or online at guyjames@theguyjamesshow.com. Southwest Florida, your official lie detector is here. Now, your wait is over. This is the Guy James Show. Commercials off. This is the Guy James Show on the Democrat Radio Network.
Ah, yes. I promised everybody a great guest in the second hour, and I've got a great guest tonight. It's really an honor to have him with us tonight. We got Bernard Weiner with us, Ph.D. in Government and International Relations. He's taught at various universities, worked as a writer and editor for the San Francisco Chronicle, and currently co-edits the Crisis Papers at www.crisispapers.org, a great website. Professor Weiner, are you with us?
Right here.
Hey, so glad to have you with us. Joining us from California tonight. We contacted you because we wanted to talk a little bit about a paper you came out with recently on the Crisis Papers website called Suppose, Arguments for an Impeachment Resolution. And I found this absolutely a compelling case for impeachment and probably the most reasoned one that I have seen, leaving out emotion. It's well done. And tell us why did you come up with this?
Well, it seems it's baffled me. Put it that way. It's baffled me over the past couple of years that there's been so much demonstrable proof of corruption, of lies that took us into war and then are getting our soldiers killed, and then incompetence. And nothing seems to happen. If Ronald Reagan was a Teflon president, this guy is amazingly so. I don't think in the piece I was calling for impeachment. What I'm calling for is hearings into the possibility of impeachment to get some of these high crimes and misdemeanor possibilities out in the open and talked about. Heretofore, the impeachment question has been relegated to what most the mainstream press think of as fringe people talking on the internet or
yes.
or shows like yours and so on. But to me, nothing will really happen in sort of taking off on these hearings until real live, just normal, run-of-the-mill legislators start talking about the possibility of doing this. And one of the ways of doing, of getting this into the sort of mainstream conversation is to get an impeachment resolution talked about. So that means that a certain number of congresspeople have to sign on to try to get such an impeachment resolution voted on, in which case the debate would start.
Well, it'd be wonderful to get that debate started, but we find a hesitancy, a complete lack of interest with many of them. I don't know what they're afraid of. I mean, I'm so disappointed in the Democrats right now. I think the party on the whole is somewhat spineless in not pursuing some of these things. How many people do you actually think you'd get to sign on with this?
Well, I don't know how many would. I'm suggesting that maybe about 40 would sort of give it a certain cachet of legitimacy. And, you know, in some senses that's crazy. People will say that can't happen. Look at how weak the Democrats are and how spineless they are and so on, and I wouldn't disagree with you at all. But the Republicans seem remarkably adept at shooting themselves in the foot, and even more so recently, so that the veil of respectability is coming off some of the corruption elements, and it's just... It's at least within the realm of possibility now that more and more Republicans would, for their own self-interest in the upcoming 2006 elections, want to distance themselves from the president and might want to not have that albatross around their neck, in which case enough may come along to join in such an impeachment hearing.
That's going to be a fascinating scene to me, to see how many of these people do put some distance between them. I notice already a few are wanting to put a couple of miles between them and Tom DeLay. And, you know, the Democrats have been content just to sit by and say, oh, well, we don't, we're the, you know, we just can't do anything right now. We don't have the numbers. And because of that, they've just... I don't know what's wrong with the Democratic Party right now.
I don't know either, because, you know, one would like to think that a party in the opposition would become a party of opposition. And all too often they kind of roll over and play dead.
Oh, we have. We absolutely have rolled over and played dead. And I don't know what it is right now. I don't think in my entire political life that I've seen the opposition be less opposing than ours is right now, and I don't know what we're going to do to change that. You come out with a great paper like this and try and change some minds. That's one of the things we try and do on the program, is to educate people that this many of these problems in the Bush administration have to see the light of day, and yet so many Democratic legislators are just simple, you know, just saying, well, you know, we can't do anything.
Well, part of that is spinelessness, I'm sure. Part of that is that looking back in over our history of the past three or four decades, the Democrats have sort of lost a lot of their sort of clarity of purpose, of demonstration of what it is they stand for, and so on. There's a real confusion in the party, inside the party, and the result has been, or as a result of that, conservative elements in the country have, over the past four decades, they were not just sitting around twiddling their thumbs. They were doing what we need to do now, which is to build from the ground up a huge and important and well-financed infrastructure of media, of think tanks, of campaign funds for and campaign classes for young up-and-comers. And, you know, this takes decades to build, and we're only now getting into the point where a lot of the base Democrats, that is to say the people who are out there ringing doorbells and so on and giving money, are telling the their legislators, you know, wise up. If you won't do it, we'll get someone who will. We'll run ourselves. So there's now the opportunity, I think, because the neocons and the Republicans are sort of self-destructively falling apart, that we can start this rebuilding process, and we got to do it soon.
Well, we have been content. I think the electorate has been, the Democratic electorate anyway, has been content just to, you know, say nothing and do nothing. And now I'm starting to see this on a local level. The grassroots people are becoming very disenchanted with the DNC and the party for not, you know, like you said, we've let the Republicans define every issue. They've framed everything. They define us and what we're about. And we'd be hard pressed to have anybody in the Democratic Party right now, in the so-called leadership of the Democratic Party, stand up and explain to the American public what is the Democratic Party actually stand for right now. I think it's very murky.
Yeah. Well, there's a chance. That's what I'm saying. There's a chance now, and I think the two issues might galvanize. One is the Bush administration and the need to get them out of there before they take the whole country down with them. And the second thing is election reform, electoral reform. It really doesn't matter at all if we have the right issues, we have the great candidates, if the elections are not honest and are not seen as being honest. And right now we have a system that's almost begging for corruption and for manipulation and so on. There, you probably have talked about this with your listeners as well, but three companies control the vote counting process in this country, and they're all Republican oriented.
Absolutely.
There have been demonstrations showing that you can get into a vote tabulating computer system, manipulate it, change a few numbers, and exit that hack, and nobody is the wiser. There's no trace of your being there and manipulating the numbers. And it seems clear to a lot of people, statisticians, politicians, whatever, that there was such manipulation in elections, in recent elections. And until we get that problem solved, nothing else matters, because the vote has to be sacrosanct, and the vote has to be on the up and up, and has to be seen as on the up and up.
You're exactly right.
That right now.
And we can't even get Democratic politicians to even talk about that. They're afraid of being told that they're all wearing tinfoil hats, so to speak, if they even bring the issue up. It's something they run from.
Yeah, I know. They got to stop running and stand up.
You're exactly right. I think it was Howard Dean. It was demonstrated to Howard Dean, I believe, that the machines could be hacked. And yet, I don't think we've got any Democratic politicians at the moment that I can think of that's really serious doing any kind of an initiative at all to get this electronic voting machine debacle changed. That I can't think of anybody that's taking it very serious.
Right. The nearest we come are people who say, well, we'll get a voter-verified paper receipt.
Yeah.
And that's good. I mean, that's nothing to be laughed at, and we need that for auditing purposes in case of a recount. But it doesn't address the real question, which is that the vote tabulating system is open to manipulation and corruption, and may well have been used in that way.
Do you think the people on the right side of the aisle, do you think the right-wing Republicans or the middle-of-the-road Republicans, do you think they're fed up? Do you think they've had enough and might join in an initiative to investigate and find out about all the things that have gone on in this administration?
Well, I can only tell you what I've learned on the basis of my travels around the United States and abroad as well. I would say that the number of conservative Republicans, what we would now consider to be sort of middle road Republicans or moderate Republicans, whatever you'd like to call them, are fed up, and they're embarrassed, and they're appalled at the kidnapping of their party and moving it to the extreme right. And they are looking for some place to land that is not going to violate totally their principles. And if somebody can come along with the requisite statements and manner and not frighten them away, they are dying to get rid of these people. They just think that they're doing such damage to the country, such damage to the party, and, as I mentioned before, such damage to their electoral chances of being reelected or elected in 2006, that they want somehow to move beyond that. And if we can come up with a candidate and a platform that will not alienate them, but will be sticking to our principles as much as we can, I think we can do that. I've never seen, I mean, just judging from the mail that comes into the crisispapers.org, it's just amazing. I would say at least half of our mail is from moderate Republicans who can't take it anymore. And we're a liberal website.
Wow. And, you know, there's not been a time since, I like to think since Franklin Roosevelt, that has the opportunity presented itself for a real leader, a real, genuine, strong leader to stand up in front of the American public and say, hey, I will lead you. I will take you where you need to be. Tell me what you want me to do. I will lead you. The time is so ripe for that right now, and I like to say that this group in power right now are really not real Republicans, and I think the hardcore old-time Republicans, the Goldwater Republicans, know these people are not real Republicans, and I agree with you. There are a lot of them anxious to clear the air.
Yeah. But who our candidate is going to be is a toss-up at this point. I mean, if you're talking about somebody like Joseph Lieberman or Joe Biden, I mean, these are not the kind of people who lead us out of the wilderness. They're more liable to get us sunk.
Certainly.
And the same can be said maybe for Hillary Clinton and so on. So who that candidate can be, I just don't know. Or whether it will have to be outside of the Democratic Party, I don't know at this stage either. As a lifelong Democrat, I'm amazed that I'm even hearing myself say that. But I have not closed that door. If we can't get a good candidate, I'll go elsewhere.
Well, I agree with you. I do. And I've been a lifelong yellow dog Democrat, so to speak, and I've been looking for that Harry Truman-style guy to come along and be a strong leader. We saw some evidence of it not long ago in Ohio, Paul Hackett. It appears he's going to run in the Senate there now against Michael DeWine, but a guy like that will stand up and say what's what and tell people the truth, what he's about, and you know, phrase the issues the way they actually are instead of just paying political, you know, it's just so many of them just talk and don't say anything.
Right. Well, as I say, I'm encouraged, number one, by the number of Republicans that I've heard all over this country and who are writing us all the time when I go out to speak and so on, hearing them. And from young people who seem to be once again getting into the willing to get into the thick of it, because the people who are supposedly speaking for them and talking about their futures are not doing the job and are taking the country in a direction that is just not good for anybody except for the few wealthy. So there is some hope out there, but we have an awful lot of work to do to clean our own stable first, and then to get people of similar minds engaged and united behind a campaigning candidate.
Well, your website's certainly doing its part. It's a great website. It's a good read for anybody that goes there, Democrat, Republican. It's just a good read for any American that wants to find out the truth of how things are in America. And I know you lean left yourself, but I think your website is more than fair. It's a great read each week. And are you teaching right now?
No, not. Right now I'm doing the website and some creative writing. I have a play of mine about to be given a professional stage reading, and I'm trying to finish up the rewrites as we sit here.
My, you've done quite a few interesting things in your life, I must say. Professor Weiner, it's been a pleasure to have you on the program. It's good to hear a good level-headed guy like yourself tell it like it is, and that's what we like to do in this program, and I thank you so very much. Crisispapers.org, right?
Right now.
We encourage everybody to visit your site. Thank you so much for being with us.
Sure, glad to talk to you. Bye.
Once again, the truth is what we're about on this program, and you'll always get the truth from us right here. Let's take a look at where the Bush administration has taken us so far and what he was talking about. Well, I think I'll wait till after the top of the hour for that. That's going to be a subject we're going to want to talk a lot about after the top of the hour. And we've got Republican Love coming up after the top of the hour as well. Right now, I've got a question for our listeners. Now I know my liberal friends will know the answer to this question, since most of you are very, very extremely well-informed. And even my right-wing listeners may know the answer to the question I'm about to ask. But my question is, will they admit to knowing the answer to my question, my right-wing friends? Probably not. Who made this statement? Here's the question. Who made this statement? I cannot, and I quote, "I cannot support a failed foreign policy. History teaches us that it is often easier to make war than to make peace. This administration is just learning that lesson right now," end quote. I asked this question, who said that, with the knowledge that the Bush administration, right after invading Iraq, started a marketing campaign. Yes, a marketing campaign, marketing a war. The campaign has been somewhat effective, I think, and they've effectively linked support for our military men and women with support for Bush and his foolish actions in Iraq, and support President Bush and the troops. You notice how that's always linked together. So you can't support one without the other, say the millions of bumper stickers out there. And really, you know, that is nothing but pure Republican propaganda crap. Why? Because the man whom the Republicans are swearing is innocent as the driven snow says so. That's right. Tom DeLay said that. Tom DeLay, back in 1999, when Bill Clinton sent U.S. forces to bomb Slobodan Milosevic, the House of Representatives considered a resolution to support Clinton's mission, and it happens that Tom DeLay was leading the charge against Clinton's action, and it also happens that Mr. DeLay said you can support the troops without supporting the president. Well, golly, what do you know? Mr. DeLay actually said that. DeLay said, and I quote, "Bombing a sovereign nation for ill-defined reasons with vague objectives undermines the American stature in the world. The international respect and trust for America has diminished every time we casually let the bombs fly. We must stop giving the appearance that our foreign policy is formulated by the Unabomber," end quote. And he went on to say, "There are no clarified rules of engagement, there is no timetable, there is no legitimate definition of victory." I ask you, what is he describing right here? No clear definition of victory, no clear funding program, there's no agenda to bolster our overextended military, there's no explanation defining what vital national interests are at stake, there was no strategic plan for war when the president started this thing, and there still is no plan today, end quote. And so someone suggested that such aggressive talk might be hurting our troops' morale. Tom DeLay said, quote, "It's very simple. The president is not supported by the House, and the military is supported by the House." My, what a different tune he's saying. Even Trent Gott said, and I quote, "My job as majority leader is to be supportive of our troops, try and have an input as decisions are made, and to look at those decisions after they're made, not to march in lockstep with everything the president decides to do." My, it's amazing that these are the same people we're talking about. Now, I could quit there after making the Republican leaders look like the hypocrites they are, but that'd be too easy. Let's take us a step or two farther. Sean Hannity on Fox, way back then, said that the supporters of the war, that war, going against Milosevic, should be forced to, and I quote, "explain to the mothers and fathers of American servicemen that make a home in body bags why their son or daughter had to give up their life," unquote. Hannity insisted that we get out now. He said, "No goal, no objective, not until we have these things and a compelling case is made, then I say back out of it, because innocent people are going to die for nothing. That's why I'm against it," Hannity said. My, can these folks talk out of both sides of their mouths? And Hannity's pal, Tony Snow, said on March 24th, 1999, "You think Vietnam was bad? Vietnam is nothing next to Kosovo." That's Tony Snow. And then the governor of Texas, George W. Bush, said on June the 5th, 1999, "I think it's also important for the president to lay out a timetable as to how long U.S. troops will be involved and when they'll be withdrawn." This is George Bush talking about Bill Clinton. Bush said, and I quote, "Victory means exit strategy." George Bush said that to Bill Clinton about Kosovo. Amazing, huh? Bush said on April 9, 1999, and went on to say, quote, "It's important for the president to explain to us what the exit strategy is." Here's a guy that couldn't hit an exit strategy with, well, never mind. Doesn't know what an exit strategy is, and yet he was demanding one of Bill Clinton, and we don't have one, never had one in this Bush war. You know, I just thought it was important to bring this up this week, since we're talking a lot about the honesty and integrity of the Bush administration, these people that were going to bring integrity back to the White House, you know. The only thing I can say about their honesty and integrity is that they don't have any. I've just explained to you how these folks said, you know, you can honor the troops, but not the president. But today, oh no, my goodness, no. If you support the troops, you've got to support the president. How dare you say anything against the president's moves and motives in this war while we're at war? All these holier-than-thou people, Trent Lott and Hannity and Limbaugh and Tom DeLay and right down the line, don't you criticize our president during time of war. You've got to support the president during a time of war. Oh, weren't they singing a different tune back then? Folks, I don't have to tell my regular listeners that the hypocrisy on this in this administration right now is appalling. I listen to this, I see this week in and week out, and I wonder how in the world can they get away with this? What is wrong with America to let these people get away with this week in and week out, go unchallenged, totally unchallenged? And the Democrats sit over on the other side of the aisle and go, oh, well, you know, we really can't do anything. We're not in power right now. That's the Joe Liebermans. That's the Joe Bidens. That's those people. And I do want to remind you one more time that a year and a half ago, I sat in Washington, D.C., and Joe Biden stood not 5 inches from my nose to his nose, down in my face, back then, in the January of, let me see, that was 04? In January of 04, nose to nose, points to my face, the troops will all be out of Iraq by April. That's of last year, folks. He doesn't have a clue either. The Democrats don't have a good strategy right now either. They really don't. If they do, they're not talking about it, and I wonder why. If somebody's got a good strategy, I'd love to hear it. And we're going to talk a lot about that after the top of the hour. We're going to talk about the Democrats. We've talked a lot about Republicans this evening so far, but we're going to talk about Democrats the last hour tonight. And I hope you'll join in on that. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. We expect that you will want to get in on that conversation, because I know many of my Democratic friends have got some strong opinions of what's happening in the Democratic leadership right now. If, in fact, you even want to admit there is any Democratic Party leadership right now. I wonder. There's some people capable of leading, but they're not taking the baton and running with it right now. And I want to know why, and I want them to account to us why they're not. So, stay tuned. We've got a lot to go. We've got some Republican love coming up after the top of the hour, and we're going to be here when you get back. You're listening to The Guy James Show at the TIB Truth and Broadcasting Network.
You've been listening to The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic radio talk show, counteracting the melodrama and sarcasm of the radical right. All that's left is the truth. Stay tuned. More of The Guy James Show is on the way. This is The Guy James Show on Wink WNOG.
Are you a conservative Republican who believes George W. Bush did the right thing by invading Iraq? Are you in agreement with Mr. Bush when he says, we need to stay the course no matter how long it takes? Do you agree with the president when he says that he will never set any time schedule to pull out our troops? Well, if you agree with all that, then you'll certainly want to help out Mr. Bush by signing up your kids or grandkids for military service today. Yes, just call your local Army, Navy, Air Force, or Marine recruiter and tell them the age and Social Security number of your little Johnny or Susie and make an appointment for a free visit by your local military recruiter. We know that by supporting the president's war, you are a super patriot, and you'll want to be the first on your block to offer up your kids for Mr. Bush's war. Don't worry if you think they're too young. Even if they're only 10 or 11 years old, this war will certainly last long enough for them to get involved. And for the first 15 callers, we're offering absolutely free a CD of the president uttering those famous fighting words, bring 'em on. Yes, this CD will have special meaning to you, especially if your kid is wounded or killed in Iraq. So call now and get your child or grandchild registered today. Just call 1-800-TAKE-MY-KID. That's 1-800-TAKE-MY-KID.
This is a very sensitive subject. Not good. It's bad. Yeah.
From the moment I heard Barbara say I had a son, I knew that I'd be safe because I'd never be alone. We GOPers shouldn't speak a lot about our feelings. Both hurt and pain don't make us too appealing. I hope Junior would look up to me, run the business of the family. Have an evil empire just like his dear old dad. Get him out of Vietnam, it doesn't look too bad. Junior should act like he's a good guy. Finish up my war and cover up his lies. Be evil and show no feelings too. Listen to DeChaney, who'll tell him what to do. Junior's in jeopardy. Carl Roof, see? Cut him off. Treat him unfairly. Nothing else matters. Oh, siree. Nothing else but the legacy.
George, what are you doing? Are you, what are you doing, George?
Sorry there, Dick. Just,
What, George, what are you doing?
Singing my son a little something. Well, he'll get to see it. Hopefully he'll get a chance to see it. Know what you're all about.
You and I.
True that, true that.
Just the two.
You have a product. You have a service. You want to tell people about your product or service, but you're afraid of being taken down a long road of expenses with no ride back. I'm Johnny Johnson, president of J2K, producers of The Guy James Show. Every week, we're called on to help businesses present their products and services to consumers by radio, video, and web. Businesses like yours. Visit us on the web at j2kproductions.com. That's J, the number 2, the letter K, productions.com. Driven to succeed.
Do you have a business or product that might benefit from a little national attention?
You're gonna like this.
Are you interested in having Guy James talk about your product or service?
Well, this is it.
Contact Gene Charles today at 239-405-0355 or online at Guy James at theguyjamesshow.com. Southwest Florida, your official lie detector is here. Now, your wait is over. This is the Guy James Show. Democratic Radio is on the air now.
Fellow America, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. I have a dream today.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Now here's Guy James.
Ah, yes, welcome back. Glad to have you along with us this evening. Whether you be local or whether you be any place around this planet of ours, we're awfully glad to have you with us here on the Guy James Show and the TIB Truth and Broadcasting Network, America's very best Democratic liberal talk show. And we're mighty glad to have you along with us tonight. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. We are going to go to the phone, and we're going to talk to Chuck in Naples. Hello, Chuck. What's on your mind this evening?
Hi, Guy. I want to appreciate you taking my call.
Well, sure.
Well, listen, here's the issue I have.
And let me say, I know what you want to talk about, and we didn't screen your call out. We take them all.
Okay, well, you know, first off, let you understand where I'm coming from. Okay?
All right.
I'm a Vietnam veteran. I was not happy when Jane Fonda and others were, giving fodder to the enemy by doing things that would undermine basically the confidence of the American people.
Mm-hmm.
And this rally happened in Washington the last couple of weekends, where some prominent Democrats were up there saying things that, quite frankly, I don't doubt for 1 minute are now being shown on Al Jazeera and in different places on websites in order to incite people against us. And I'd be just as angry if it was Republicans saying it as I am Democrats saying it. All I want to say is that people need to basically, if they don't support the war right now, if they're not happy with the way the president's waging the war right now, as long as our troops are over there fighting and something that you say may be used against us, keep your mouth shut. It's just not worth saying. It's not worth getting people...
Well, let me tell you, Chuck, I communicate on a regular basis with several people who are in our armed forces, who are in Iraq right now. And you know how their morale has been hurt?
I have two family members.
All right, let me tell you about the ones I know of. And I know of several that I keep in constant contact with on a weekly basis. And their morale has been devastated because they went over there with a real mission in mind of what they were told they were going to do and why they had to do it. And they've since found out that it was malarkey. And that has destroyed their morale. Not anything that's going on right now.
Out in Vietnam. I signed up and went over there thinking God and country, okay? I mean, I went over away from the flag.
Then you found out different.
But you understand, I was still over there fighting for me and for the guys around me to keep me alive and bring them home as well.
Of course.
And any time that you give something to the enemy that can be used against us, that's wrong.
Well, let me ask you, Chuck, you made it out of Vietnam. Let me ask you a question. If the anti-war movement hadn't started in this country and gotten that war stopped, would you and all your friends that came home have made it home?
We'd have had the war stopped if Congress hadn't stopped Richard Nixon from the bombing. You understand that we were not allowed to win that war, okay? We had everything we needed to win that war. We could have bombed Hanoi into submission, and it was stopped.
Well, we could bomb the Arabs into submission
exactly.
as well, but for humanitarian reasons,
and
we're not going to do it.
We're not allowed to wage war anymore. Let's face it. War is horror, and the more horror you create, the sooner your enemy gives up. But we're not allowed to do that anymore.
So is Iraq our enemy?
Pardon me?
Is Iraq our enemy?
No. The Iraqi people are not our enemy, but the terrorists that are fighting in there are, and I think we need to do everything we can to beat them out. But what we can't do right now is give them more ammunition for us, and I think we do that in the news, and I just think that's wrong.
I disagree.
No matter who says it.
I disagree. I don't think anybody, I think the big morale buster over there is these guys from the National Guard and our troops finding that they've been forced to re-up, they had their terms extended against their will. That's what's happening to the morale over there. And of course, them finding out that their friends are getting killed for no apparent reason. I think that's been the biggest loss of morale that there is in our troops over there. We'll respectfully disagree, Chuck. I thank you for your call.
I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk to you, and I certainly listen to both sides. That's why I listen to your show as well as others.
Thanks for your call. Good to hear from you. I know what he's talking about, and I understand where he's coming from. I know the Jane Fonda thing. I wasn't real happy about that either. But I have to think if the anti-war movement way back when hadn't started, I didn't believe that we should bomb the people of Vietnam into submission. And I'm not a dove by any means. I think sometimes war is necessary. It's hell and it's necessary. But I don't think the Iraqi people deserve this, and I don't think the real battlefield was in Iraq. I happen to know that several high-level military people in this country think that the battlefield was never in Iraq, that it should have been waged in Afghanistan. We should have stayed in Afghanistan until we destroyed the terrorist movement of Al-Qaeda. And what's that guy's name? Osama bin Forgotten, that's right. Osama bin Forgotten. We're going to smoke him out and catch him dead or alive and all that, and we haven't heard his name in a long, long time. Yeah, Johnny?
I don't linger too much on this. My brother's a Marine, and he was extended through January. He should have been home in July.
Yeah, that's hard on the old morale. I know there are gung-ho guys over there. I mean, I know that, but I know a lot of them went over gung-ho, and now they found out something else, and it's not making them real happy. So as I promised, before I get back to the phones, and I'll get back to the phones in just a moment, 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. Let's do take just a moment to see where the Bush administration has taken us so far. We've got, 4 years and 9 months in, something like that so far. 9/11 was 4 years ago, and the federal agencies who are responsible for helping out Americans, assisting Americans, was almost helpless during the hurricanes. The price of gas, diesel, and home heating oil are at record highs, and not only a record, as you know, but out of sight from when Bush took office, and after he had told us that, quote, he knew how to jawbone the oil-producing nations, that's in his word, he was going to help out in that respect. I don't see any jawboning he's done. We're stuck in an absolutely unwinnable quagmire of a war in the middle of an area where Americans are hated and reviled. We've got, what else? We've got red ink flowing like Niagara Falls in this country. The trade deficit is breaking records. No, let me rephrase that. The trade deficit is smashing records. The national debt is completely spiraling out of control and allow foreign governments like China to really have a profound influence on our economy. Bush's tax cuts. They didn't do what he promised. They were going to create millions and millions of new jobs, good jobs, he said, and make the economy robust. Has not happened. Yeah, the economy is stagnant, if I even want to give it that much credit. Over 50 million Americans don't have health care, and the Senate Majority Leader dumps his stock in a company owned and administered by his family right before the stock tanks because of bad performance. What a coincidence that was. You know, he sold it when it was in a blind trust, after stating that he had no knowledge whether or not he'd even owned any stock in HC anymore. Boy, that's a hard one to do. What else? House Majority Leader DeLay has been indicted because of allegedly taking part in an illegal money laundering scheme so he could fulfill his promise of stacking the deck against the Democrats in Texas, and oh my, has he ever done that. So after all of this, you might think the Democratic Party leaders would be blasting the Republicans on every one of these points every single day. You'd think that the Democrats would be demanding accountability for all these Republican outrages. You know, as I was talking to Professor Weiner there, you know, what better time for Democrats to extol the virtues of their own plans for the country and fix this mess? You know, this is the perfect time for Democrats to show America that we are the party of opportunity, fiscal responsibility, national security, health care, and other important issues. Are they doing that? Have you seen them do that nonstop on TV? Does anybody know what the Democratic Party stands for right now? What leading Democrat have you seen saying, hey, look here at my plan for America? Who's been doing that? Anybody? You know, the war, for example. The Republicans have painted the Democrats as soft on defense and made it look like we're afraid of our own shadows. Why don't the Democrats take a stand on the war issue? I know why. It's because lots of the Democrats have blood on their hands, too. That's why. Lots of them abrogated their duties as elected leaders and gave Bush the option of doing any damn thing he wanted to do militarily in Iraq. They gave it to him. Carte blanche. You want to hear some real stammering and stuttering? Just you go ask any Democrat right now who voted for the war if we should get out now. Ask that question of a Democratic politician. What do you want to bet that every last one of them who voted for the war says, well, we're there now, so we just can't leave? If they even have the guts to say that. Why can't one of them say the war was a mistake? Unequivocally, the war was a mistake. I made a terrible error when I sided with Bush on the war. Let's begin a gradual withdrawal so that the Iraqis have a chance to get their ducks in a row before we leave. A positive statement is all we want, but are we getting it? Elected Democrats should have enough backbone to realize that the war's crippled the Bush administration, and they can no longer accuse the Democrats of being soft on defense. You know, Bush's war has weakened our military. Enlistments are at a two or three decade low. The reenlistment rate is abysmal, and the National Guard's been so misused that we don't have the security of having them home to help out with emergencies like Hurricane Katrina. So why don't the Democrats get wise and kick the Republicans' ass on this issue? Because they were cowards when it was first proposed, and they're still cowards. The midterms are coming up in 2006, and they're too chicken to speak out on the war issues for fear that the Republicans will get them with it, just like they did before by calling them anti and un-American. Oh my, we're so afraid. And the economy? The Republicans have charged the Democrats with class warfare on the tax issue. Now that that's come up again, that we ought to forego these tax cuts. And the Democrats, what do? They run for the hills. Let me tell you. I live in an area where there are literally more cosmetic surgeons than regular doctors. The average guy can't afford health insurance or the mortgage on his house, and the wages he's making are shrinking by the day, and the Democratic leaders are afraid of being accused of class warfare by these smash-and-grab-me Republicans. Get serious. The number of billionaires is increasing every single day, yet the minimum wage is shrinking and shrinking and shrinking, and a lot of people can't afford their medicine or afford decent housing, or in many cases, they can't afford books and shoes for their kids to go to school. I see it every single day. The ultra-rich living on the beaches of South Florida and the poor living on the other side of town, barely existing financially. Both parents working day and night. The kids on their own after school. Poverty beyond belief, and yet the Democrats are afraid of being accused of class warfare? Give me a break. When are the Democrats going to stand up and tell America what we need to do and what the Democrats will do to make this situation better? When is a Democrat with backbone going to stand up and give us a program that will help America and take us back to the prosperity that we once enjoyed, where the working man could make a decent living with it in a decent job? When is that going to happen? That was always the responsibility of the Democrats. That was what the Democratic Party did. They worked for the working man, the man that built this country and supported this country with his taxes and his hard work, and built the cars and the electric lines and all the things that we need in this nation. That's what the Democratic Party always stood for, and what do they stand for now? What Democrat is willing to stand up now and take a stand on these issues? I haven't seen it, and God, I'm thirsty for it, and I know all the friends that I have are Democrats are damn tired of hearing the Democrats abrogate their responsibility and just stand around and wait on the Republicans to blow themselves up. We have to be better Americans than that. The party is better than that. But the leaders of the party right now are not better than that. They are not stepping forward and doing the things the Democratic Party needs to do. I'm sick of it. I'm sick to death of George Bush ruining this country. But as a Democrat, I'm even more sick of the responsibility that my party has totally abandoned in this fight. We're fighting for the future of America. We're fighting for the survival of this country. I better go back to the phone. Hi, Tom. Tom, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Yes.
Good to hear from you, Tom.
Yeah, I just had a comment regarding when you were talking earlier about Tom DeLay and other Republicans quoting what they said. And during the Yugoslavia war and the contradiction of the way hypocrites. But I totally agree with you, and I do not support this war. But I did want to make a comment, though, is doesn't that work both ways?
Of course it does.
Because, you know, you've got Democrats now who are against this war, rightfully so. But, weren't they probably also entrenched and, you know, reciting the party line because Clinton initiated the other one, so... You know, I think that's a big problem, that people are just too entrenched. There's no dialogue. So,
you know, Tom, you've touched upon an issue that is a real sore spot with me. Politicians are doing what politicians do, and it makes me sick to death that the politicians act the way they do on both sides of the aisle. I don't know why they just can't be honest with the people. That's all we ask.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I just had one other comment too, real just quickly,
sure.
Too, regarding the issue you were saying before about the Democrats, the Democratic Party and where it needs to go. And I was always brought up a Democrat, but one thing I've seen is I don't know if you would agree or not, but it seems like they just need to take back this, what is largely an illusion, that this image that the Republicans are the moral party, the party of the, of morals, and this image that somehow has transpired that the Democrats are the on the other end of the spectrum, and which is not really true, but there's an image that in the average person's, the average American's mind that there's a lot of people that think that.
You are right, and that's one of the things Professor Weiner was talking about a while ago, how they've framed the issue, and they've framed us right into that. That's one of the most spurious issues that they've ever been brought. You know, family values, what are family values anyway? Don't Democrats have family values? Don't we have families? Don't we go to church? Don't we bring our kids up the best way we can? Don't we?
Of course.
You know, that's such a joke. And yet that their marketing campaign that they've been doing for the last 20 years is working so very well for them. Thanks for your call, Tom.
Sure.
Glad to hear from you. Let's go to Juan in Fort Myers. Hello, Juan.
Hi, guys. In regards just to before I go into what I was going to calling about, that a lot of topics it seems like they seem to pretend that they own it, like the morality and free market and all of these words, but the only reason that stands is because we don't have enough microphones on our side, and we talked about this before. But one of the reasons I was calling is that I heard that Armed Forces Radio now will start having liberal shows as well. So that's been monopolized by Rush Limbaugh. But starting October 17th, they're going to hear the other side, which is, you know, I believe to be the truth, and not the smokescreen that Rush Limbaugh gives them. You know, there's other issues, so many issues. Yes, sir. I just want to talk about one, but, you know, even with it, you know, I was going to call last week, or I was going to call other talk shows in the morning, but around here, you know, you try to call the radio talk shows in the morning, just like, you know, dialing a bimbo. You just don't know what you're going to get. And what they have is, you know, what I was going to say is here in Lee County, we have a, the charter school, the only school to get an F in our county was a charter school. Now that's the free market there, private school. Why they didn't perform as good as a public school? Now nobody took that up. We didn't have anybody to pick it up. And the people that own the mic, the ones that own this radio station, they keep those. You know, they won't let anybody talk about those things. They just bring their own propaganda. But what I was really calling you about is that with so many issues, any of them, you take yes, the Medicare. Not even the whole Medicare issue, just the medicines in Medicare. You have that, you know, the bill, just that one thing, the bill that the Republicans came up with and George Bush signed, and the legislation that it will interfere with the free market to benefit the pharmaceutical companies and hurt the poor and the elderly. That is criminal because there are people that are dying every day because they cannot afford their medication. They simply cannot afford their medications, and you know that's a criminal act. Anyone using that, saying that you know George Bush is a criminal. He's killing people because he's not allowing free competition. All he has to do is just let the so-called free competition he's always talking about to work in medicine. Why doesn't he allow that?
You know, Juan, you're exactly right. And let me intercede here with a small, quick story that I heard from a very good friend of mine today. He had one of his friends come in and talk to him. He's diabetic, and I can't think of the name of the medicine he takes, but it's quite expensive. I'd recognize it if I heard it, but I just can't think of it. And he buys it at the pharmacy, and it costs him around $400 a month, and that's a lot of money for medicine, a lot of money, and he did some checking and found out he could buy that through the mail from Canada, the same name brand, for $100 a month. Why does this happen?
Yes. You know, why does the government sign, why does George Bush sign a bill saying that we, the citizens of this country, cannot have, our government, on our behalf, cannot allow the pharmaceutical companies to compete against each other so we can get the cheapest price? He makes that illegal. That is a crime. He makes that illegal, that we cannot, that he's telling the elderly, no, you will pay whatever the pharmaceutical company tells you will pay, or you will die. That's the end of the story. I'm not going to allow you to have the free market work in medicine. You either pay through the nose, you know, it's probably that, you know, it's an act that there are so many of those medications out there, but there's two of them. They're very expensive. And one of the pharmaceutical companies, Eli Lilly, won't even allow Medicaid, won't even participate, the last time I heard, I don't know if they're doing it now, participate into competition for their, or lowering their prices for the Medicaid patients. But the government stuck his nose, George Bush stuck his nose into And most of the elderly don't know that probably, or they will just kick these people out of town. That is outrageous, because he's getting money from those people to run his campaign, and he's passing bills saying that you don't have the right to the companies don't compete to give you a lower price. That they don't, he don't want to pick up competition from pharmaceutical companies, so the elderly and the poor get lower cost medication. That's outrageous. That is criminal, and somebody should take this guy up and, you know, and take him to court. Whatever, you know.
Well, these pharmaceutical companies ought to have to hand a paper to every customer that comes in and buys the outrageous price medicine. They ought to have to hand him a paper that says, here is how much we, the pharmaceutical, Merck, whatever, whichever pharmaceutical company, this is how much we donated to the Republican Party.
Yeah.
They ought to have to tell the public how much money, how they bought their influence.
Yes, sure. It's got to be Avandia or Actis, one of those two. They're very, you know, good medications, but most people have to take the old medication. They have to inject themselves with insulin, some kind of a older medication that's been around for 20 or 30 years. Sure. Doesn't work as well. And when they die, they drop of a heart attack, or they start losing their eyesight because they're hemorrhaging, or they lose their kidney, who do they have to thank for? George Bush. I mean, we need somebody with cojones to, you know, from the Democratic Party, and stop pussyfooting around with these people. Just tell it like it is. They are. They're thieves. They're bankrupting the country, giving the taxpayers money and handouts to the big corporations. Just name it, and then passing the bill on to our kids and grandkids. Well, the people around now, they're around today, are dying early because they won't allow free competition. They just it's unconscionable.
Juan, thank you so much for a great call, as always.
Thank you.
And there's a man that ought to know. There's a man, he's a physician. I know he doesn't mind me telling you that. He knows about the high price of medicine and the trials and tribulations of folks that don't have a lot of money, having to try and buy some of this medicine, have to use some of the older techniques, not getting the latest. He knows about that. He knows all about that. Isn't it a crime that human beings live in this country, elderly people that have worked hard all their lives and retired? Some of them have lost their pensions because companies have gone bankrupt, or maybe they worked for a company most of their lives and didn't get a great big pension, and they, you know, they're very limited in what they can spend. Isn't it a crime that a person like that has to depend on charity that doesn't exist from these pharmaceutical companies to live, to get the medicine they need? It's a crime. It is a crime. I, you know, here we are, and I know my friend from Norway doesn't like me saying it, but greatest nation on earth, and we can't take care of our elderly people with the medicine they need. That's a damn shame. It's a damn shame. And I'm not going to just fault the Republicans for it. The Democrats need to get to work on it, too, and we're not hearing enough from them about it. We're going to break for the bottom of the hour. We've got Republican Love coming up after the bottom of the hour. I know you'll want to hear it. You're listening to The Guy James Show on the TIB Truth in Broadcasting Network, where you get the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Stay tuned.
This is The Guy James Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, Rush Limbaugh.
They say that I'm sleaze and elitist. You please, everybody disagrees with my rapping. I'm horrendous, I'm appalling. My ratings now are falling. I'm so full of crap. With condescending cries, making money, selling lies. You might say, everybody hates my guts. I'm offensive, I'm a bigot, I'm a fraud. Can you dig it? I'm a sexist, racist, homophobic, fat, pathetic, putz.
I'm a Nazi.
That's right.
I really am, because I'm a Nazi.
That's right.
You're being scammed.
I'm a Nazi.
I don't care about the middle class, because I'm a fat conservative butthead with the face of a horse's ass.
He's a fat conservative butthead.
Hey,
with the face of a horse's ass.
I have a subhuman figure, a huge rear end. My brain, that's
that's another story.
It's quite another
story. I have a face the size of a wash tub, and my ass is as big as Missouri.
Yes!
This bastard is sick, he's a fat mob, is big, and his ass is as big as Missouri.
Yes, Kirby Bob! Manipulating statements, exaggerate the truth. I can't believe they hate my show. It smiles. It's not just because I'm stupid. It's not just because I'm scum. It's just because Republicans are liars. I am heartless. I am vain, insensitive, insane. They say that I'm a national disgrace. I am nasty, insulting, basically revolting. I'm a concentrated pile of human waste. Because I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi. I really am, because I'm a Nazi. That's right.
You're being scammed. I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
I don't care about the middle class. I'm a sick Republican sleazeball with the face of a horse's ass.
He's a sick Republican sleazeball with the face of a horse's ass.
They say that this is not about my vanity. They doubt my sanity. They think I'm nuts. I am a cyst on the ass of humanity. New Republican slogan, read my pets. From the bowels of the
age
comes the voice of Rush Limbaugh. In closing, let me say that each and every day, I'm an evil, rotten, egotistical snob. I'm the copper, the top of Joe McCarthy-like Gestapo, the right-wing, foam-of-the-mouth, jack-booted slob, the democratic trashing, years of liberal bashing with the equivalent compassion of a grommet. With the IQ of a pig, I'm the fat, obnoxious pig. And the truth of the matter is, I'm vomit. Because I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
I really am, because I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
You're being scammed.
I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi. I don't care about the middle class, because I'm a fear-mongering scumbag with the face of a horse's ass.
He's a fat conservative buckhead.
Hey, sick Republican sleazeball. Fear-mongering scumbag. Egotistical ass bite. Mean-spirited, hog-wallering fat conservative puss.
With the face of a horse's ass.
Commercials off. This is the Guy James Show on the Democrat Radio Network. Now it's time for you to pull up a chair, sit back, and enjoy a few moments of Republican love.
Every time I hear that intro, it's just warm and fuzzy. That's how it is. And these letters, many of them make me feel warm and fuzzy, just good all over, you know what I mean? Every week we get letters from our right-wing friends. Well, maybe some of them aren't friends, I don't know. I wonder about the motives of some of these people. But anyway, we try and read the letters in the spirit in which they're written, and we try and do our best at that. So I've got some letters we got this week, and we're going to give you a few minutes of Republican love. First letter. I suppose you sicko demo rat bastards are now going to try and railroad Tom DeLay. Railroad Tom DeLay. I heard your comments about no one wanting to defend him. Well, I will defend him. Well, that guy didn't call ever, did he? I will defend him because he is a great and powerful man who has done amazing things for the American people. He has been picked on and never complained or passed the buck. Man, that ain't what I heard this week. About passing the buck or being complaining. He's a true Texan with a heart of gold and a brain just as big. You will rue the day you ever said anything against Tom DeLay. Uh-oh. You don't suppose he told Tom what we said about him, do you? Because we would be in trouble if Tom heard that. Tommy put that, you know, don't mess with Texas group on us there. Next letter. I saw your new website and you look like the average queer to me. Well, there you go. I can always spot them from a mile away, and you, my friend, are as queer as anyone I've ever seen. Queers like you belong in the priesthood with the other slime balls who pick on little kids. You Democrats are all alike. Queers, commies, and blank lovers, okay?
At least they went to the website.
Yeah.
And we said, we thank you for the hit.
That's a hit, yeah. I heard what you said about the Confederate flag, and I'll have you know I fly mine proudly above the stars and stripes. I was born in America, but my solemn choice is to be a Southerner. My solemn, S-O-L-U-M-E, choice to be a Southerner. All righty. All right, next letter. I see you and your little friend. How do you guys know my little friend? Your little friend, Ronnie Earle, are trying to ruin Tom DeLay. I got news for you and Earle. Tom DeLay is way too smart to get caught doing what he is accused of. He's from Texas, and here you go, and you don't mess with Texas. DeLay will come out of this smelling like a rose, and you libs will be foiled again. Well, you know, that may be. That may be. But I got to tell you, Ray, I'm hysterical over DeLay getting indicted. Absolutely hysterical. Ah. Take a deep breath, guy. All right, another letter. On your program last week, you had a caller claim that the morning show host, oh, here we go, that the morning show host on Wink WNOG made racist remarks. I heard her remarks about not being black enough, and she was right on the money. $200 billion to spend on New Orleans, you might as well send the $200 billion to some poor African company. Same people, same problems. Face it, Mr. James, the blacks in this country are lazy, stupid, and only want a handout from the rest of us. It's that way today, even after we gave them their freedom. Yes, we gave them their freedom, and look what they've done with it. Oh, my God. Jesus, makes me dirty to read this.
Now, these people do know that the people who, like, run technical for the show are ethnic, shall I say?
Yeah. Okay. Maybe they do now. Yes, we gave them their freedom, and look what they've done with it. As a people, oh, it gets better. As a people, they are a burden upon our society, and it would be no loss if they were all gone. We'd all be better off. Well, I suppose then we'd be better off if all the Irish people left too, huh? And the Germans, and the English, and the Italians, and the Greeks, and the Chinese, the Japanese, the Mexicans, the Haitians, and all the rest of the what you would call intruders, I guess. Huh? He finishes out his letter, says, your sorry attitude is completely indicative. Now, that's a big word for this guy to use, indicative, and he spelled it right. It's completely indicative of that of today's stupid Democrat Party. Some of you need to get off your high horse and admit that the racial hatred that you call it is justified. Well, racial hatred is justified. I don't know. I was raised a little different than that. Weren't most of you raised a little different than that? And, buddy, if you weren't raised different than that, I'd hate to attend your family reunion. Oh, man. That'd be the kind of family reunion you'd go to get a date. To go to your own family reunion to get a date in that family right there, I think. Ah, yes. So, that's it. That's the Republican love for this evening.
This has been a few moments of Republican love.
Aren't they sweet? Aren't they just the sweetest people? We gave them their freedom. Didn't have to, I suppose, but we did out of the kindness of our hearts. My goodness, what a magnanimous gesture to give them their freedom. My goodness, that's wonderful. That is, you know, that really brings a tear to my eye that the guy is so generous, giving people their freedom. I have to wonder. I really do. You got to wonder about the gene pool sometimes. When you read some of these letters, you think, man, oh man, oh man, some of these people just now climbing out of the slime. I wonder. Let's go back to the phones. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 03, and 04. Let's go to Damon in Houston, Texas. Hi, Damon.
Hello, guy. How are you doing?
Great.
I just want to make a minor correction of something you said in the first hour.
Yeah.
You had mentioned about Media Matters, the website.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually mediamatters.org.
Oh,
not
yes.
Dot com.
Thank you. Did I say it? Thank you. Thank
the
you.
The only reason
you.
I say that is because I think everybody should put that on their favorites list. It's must reading. Media Matters is. But what I wanted to ask you was this. You were talking about the Democrats and standing up and speaking out and all that sort of thing. And I agree with you 100%. But what I wanted to ask you was, do you think that there is a problem in that the Democrats do not have an infrastructure in place to get their message out? Like, we don't have a Fox News or a Washington Times or, you know, thousands of talk show hosts on the air 24/7 like the Republicans do. And do you think that that presents an obstacle for Democrats to get their message out to people?
I don't think you could have hit the nail on the head any more squarely than you have. The Republicans have worked behind the scenes for the last 25 years to build this infrastructure you're talking about. Countless Republican think tanks, well-funded with hundreds of millions of dollars, which led to right-wing radio, which led to the proliferation of right-wing books on the market, and a lot of people don't know this, a lot of people do. For every one of these right-wing books that comes out on the market, that and the Ann Coulter or Hannity that comes out, Richard Mellencamp buys the first 50,000 copies of each one, I'm told.
Right, and that artificially pushes their numbers up. It makes them bestsellers.
And then,
right.
And if that's the best free advertising you can get on that's the bestseller list, let's go out and buy that book. And then America is swamped with this right-wing propaganda. And, you know, it wouldn't be so bad, but the Democrats... You know, Damon, I think a Democratic Party still does not take this seriously. I've been to Washington. I've talked to the Democratic leaders there. I have made one plea after another to the leaders of the Democratic Party to help us out here in the fruited plain, so to speak. Help us with our programs, our radio programs.
Right.
Give us the assistance we need. Give us financial support. Give us the guests that we need when we need them. Give us a way to combat the right-wing 24/7 radio. And you know what? We get stony silence from them.
You would think that would be common sense.
You would think. But I can tell you, I don't think any of them take it seriously at all. They pay lip service. When we're there in Washington, they'll say, oh, yeah, we're... You know, I can tell you, I can tell you after being there, a little inside permission. We go for these conferences now and then, and we'll meet with the likes of Debbie Stabenow and Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden and Dorgan and lots of the senators and lots of the Democrats you tell them, well, I've got a Democrat liberal. Oh, good for you. That's great. We're going to do all we can to help you. And yes, we'll appear on your program. And yes, we'll do all we can to help you. Well, once you go home and you call the numbers that they gave you, well, you know, the senator can't be with you this week or next week. And why don't they just say ever? And the support you needed, eh. You know, Damon, the sad thing is, I hate to say this, and some of my Democratic friends are going to hate it that I do say this, so many of our Democrats in Congress right now have turned into Republicans after they got our votes and got elected, because they're there to support themselves. They're there to get themselves reelected and for no other reason. They get a whiff of that power and that prestige, and that's all they care about. And man, I hate to make that charge, but I've seen it be true.
Well, we need to hold them accountable, too.
We do. Right. We absolutely do. And, you know, and it's like, you know, I'm going to make some people mad again for saying this. Somebody wrote me today and said, if you're from a state with a Democratic senator, you know, tell me about everything. Well, yeah, we got one Democratic senator where I live. We got one Republican and one Democrat. Might as well be two Republicans. Might as well be. Because the Democratic senator we got in this state votes with the Republicans on all the important issues. Why? Why does he do that? Because he knows he's going to get some crossover votes to reelect him from the Republican side. That's why he does it. He couldn't possibly, as a Democrat, believe in some of these things, like the bankruptcy bill. Tell me that any real Democrat could have voted for that bankruptcy bill.
Absolutely not.
No. No. We need more Paul Wellstones.
We do.
We need more Dennis Kuciniches.
Right.
Damon, thanks so much for
your
call.
Thank you. I appreciate your time.
Great to hear from you. Let me see here. Where are we going to go? Who's been waiting the longest? Let's go to John in Cape Coral. Hello, John.
Well, good evening. I got in late. I was in the car, so I was listening to some of what you were saying, and I think you're right on target about the Democrats. They really, unfortunately, are not providing a response as a minority party, an opposition party, I should say.
Certainly not. Not an effective response.
No. No, and we need it.
Certainly.
Need to get the act together. And I think one of the weakest things that's going to hit people, other than the war, which is doing so badly, and Katrina, is the whole economic picture. And as I was driving just now home, I noticed again the gasoline stations seem to be, as I pass each one of them, they seem to be rotating their prices up and upward again.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, $3 a tank for a gallon for on gasoline is hitting people hard.
Oh, you bet. You bet it is. Taking a bite out of our family budget, I can tell you that.
And they talked about the price of diesel going up.
Yeah. Wild increase in diesel.
Okay, well, doesn't that begin to affect everything that's trucked in, that comes into all the various supermarkets down here, Publix, Winn-Dixie, Albertsons, even Walmart?
They're not going to eat that money. Absolutely not. They're not going to eat that extra cost in fuel. They're going to pass it on. It's just another tax on us coming from this Republican group we got out there right now.
And the oil companies are making their super profits.
$1 a gallon, I'm told right now, on gasoline.
Now, that's a tremendous profit.
Obscene.
Now, add this to the picture, and I was hearing a report on NPR and on TV. The natural gas situation is also in short supply.
Yep.
As a result of the hurricanes. I may be wrong, but I think we're in for a climate change comes winter.
Oh, you wait. You wait.
Price of fuel oil. Price of natural gas to heat houses is going to affect people all over this country. Do you stay warm or do you eat?
Exactly right.
Now, here's my point to go along with yours. Isn't this a political issue when people haven't got enough money to keep themselves warm and to eat?
It is in my book, but we're just not hearing enough about it right now.
Why not?
I think a lot of these people, and I hate to say this, I really do, but a lot of our Democratic politicians are interested only in getting themselves reelected, and I think they go in there running as Democrats, and they become damn Republicans when they finally get in there, because then they're seeking money and power, and that's it. And I hate to make that indictment of my own party, but it's true.
Well, let me ask you a question. Forgetting party politics for a moment. Doesn't the average citizen voter begin to look when he's voting for somebody who's going to make his life better in terms of his wallet?
A lot of people have voted with their wallet over the years, most certainly. I don't think they did this last time. They voted on family values this last time and good Christian values.
Well, when you start hurting, and right now people are going to be hurting, it's time for politicians to begin to look at what is hurting people. You know, family values are a luxury when things are going well economically. It's not a luxury when you haven't got enough food and you haven't got enough heat and you're suffering economically.
You're right, and I don't think America realizes it right now, but in the upper half of this nation right now, when that heating oil tank needs to get filled coming up before very long, and a lot of Southerners don't understand this, but you get those old fuel oil tanks filled up, and at the price it's going to be a choice for a lot of people, John, between medicine, between food, and between staying warm enough to stay alive.
And it's going to be a choice whether we use the oil supplies that we have, do we use it for heating houses or producing gasoline? And that's going to affect everybody.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
And I think, you know, if you're talking about political issues, some people who are astute politicians out there had better look to the fact that people are going to be looking in terms of their wallet.
Yeah, I think they are, like never before in this next election. The question is, will the Democrats get it together in time to take the House back and reverse some of these things, like this tax cut? And so we're in a mess. And to tell you the truth, I'd probably hate to be a politician right now. So part of this hole looks so deep, like that you can't see the, you know, you can't see the top of it anymore if you're down at the bottom. I don't know what's going to happen. I really don't. I think we're facing a dire, dire situation financially in this country.
And I think we need to talk about it.
We certainly do.
You know, I think the average Joe lunch bucket needs to look at it. And the people who want to get Joe lunch bucket's vote need to look at it. Because, you know, the people who are in office now, the tax cuts for the rich are not getting people, taking care of the people who have to feed their families and have enough heat.
Certainly not. The tax cuts for the rich have done what they were designed to do, and that was to further enrich the rich, and that's what they've done.
And now the price is being paid. Now, if you're a smart politician, you begin to take advantage, and you say, hey, I've got to reach the people who are the average voter, and those are the people who are hurting. And those are the people we got to reach. And all of you people with this Republican love, I have to tell you, all of that does not put, you know, gasoline in your car, food on your table. And those are the big issues that have to hit. And if your politicians can't deliver, and they couldn't deliver in terms of the emergency help in Katrina and Rita, and they're not delivering for the average citizen and voter, I think it's time that some of these people who consider themselves Republican or right-wing had better look to see which politicians out there are going to meet our needs. Because if not, we're all in deep trouble.
You're exactly right, John. Thanks so
anyway,
much.
Anyway, that's my message, sir.
Thanks, Mark.
And thank you for the time.
Thank you for your call. You know, you see these obscene profits from the oil companies right now and their stockholders, and some of the amazingly obscene profits that are being taken out of Hurricane Katrina already. How many of you saw the roofing company charging about $2,900 to nail a tarp on a roof that normally costs $300? And that's not counting the material. The material is being supplied by FEMA. They're supplying the labor. They go up and nail the tarp on the roof. Takes them 2 hours. They're charging $2,900. They normally would charge $300 for that. You tell me where the money for that's going to end up. It's going to end up in the pockets of a lot of fat cats who are rich already. And you have to wonder, when is enough enough? When is raping and pillaging somebody else? When is it enough for you? You know, as they always used to say, and I probably always say it backwards, enough is never enough to the man to whom enough is too little. And I think we got a lot of people like that in this country. Yeah, and it sickens me. It really does that there are people there, all kinds of companies there that are going to take full advantage of that awful, awful catastrophe and take advantage of people whose lives have been ruined and wrecked and turned upside down. And, you know, insurance companies are taking advantage of them. Our government's taking advantage of them. It's awful. It is awful what's going to take place down there. And I do. Let's get back to the phone. Let's go to Connie in Cape Coral. Hello, Connie.
How are you, Guy?
Very good.
I got in late tonight. I was wondering if you'd mentioned anything about that hate crimes bill.
No, we had not talked about it tonight. It was we had a whole week's worth of stuff to talk about tonight, and we've only gotten to about half of it.
I was wondering how you felt about it. I hadn't looked at it thoroughly, and I was wondering how you felt it might affect, you know, websites, talk show hosts, things of that nature.
Well, I don't think it's going to change any serious change in it from what I've read. And to tell you the truth, I have not read the bill chapter and verse. I've read an outline of it. And that's not the way to read a bill if you're going to comment on it seriously.
Right.
So, you know, I really need to read the whole thing word by word.
Just wondering if you poked around in it more than I had.
Yeah.
Come to my awareness.
No, I'm afraid I haven't. There was a lot to keep track of this week, and we didn't get to that. But we've read an outline of it. I don't think it's going to affect talk radio at all.
Mm-hmm.
The liberties that are taken with the truth and so forth. I don't think it's going to bother things at all. I happen to think that Bill Bennett this past week was guilty of a hate crime, mm-hmm. in my opinion. But
he crossed the line.
He definitely crossed the line of civility and ethics and all that you should, you know, maintain on the radio. Mm-hmm. Connie, thank you for your call.
Thank you, Jack.
Nice to hear from you.
Thank you.
I want to take just a moment or two to thank everybody for the support that they've given to the program. I do appreciate it. As you know, this is a listener-supported program. That's the only way we get on the air every week. We buy our airtime. We buy our streaming time. We pay the streaming bill and the phone bill and all that. And we do not take a salary for this program. We're not that well-heeled that we make our living. We don't make anything off this radio show. In fact, it's a losing proposition. So I want to encourage you, if you do listen to the program every week, in the interest of keeping the program on the air, quite frankly, it is necessary for you to help support the program if you're listening, whether you be local or on the Internet. And I want to thank everybody who does donate to the program. I know a lot of you out there are suffering tough times financially right now. Talk to people every day who are suffering through this economy. But if it's important to you to have a voice, to have a voice for the Liberals and the Democratic Party in our area and across the nation as we try and provide here a voice of reason and most of all a voice of truth, if that's important to you, I hope you'll consider sending something into the program to help us stay on the air. And you can do that by going to our website, www.theguyjamesshow.com. You'll be entertained and educated there, and you'll see a lot of really neat things that Frank, the webmaster, has put up there. We thank him for a beautiful new website that we've got up. And if it weren't for your donations, we would not be on the air. So, once again, I want to thank everybody who has kept the program on the air. There have been many, many times over this 2 years and 11 months, I think it is, 2 years and 10 months that we've been on the air right now. Been many, many times that we thought, well, we're down to our last show or two because the cookie jar was just about empty. And that's happened a lot of times over the last 2 years and 10 months. And somehow we've always been able to replenish and keep going. And, you know, as I've told you many, many times, our Republican friends, when we first went on the air, promised to get us off the air by any means necessary. And those were their words, by any means necessary. Well, our Republican friends and our right-wing friends and our neocon friends never have gotten us off the air. If we go off the air, it'll be because of, we don't get enough listener support. And maybe that's my fault. I don't know. But we receive a lot of encouragement every week, and we know we're in tough times here in this country. We know that. But if you can spare a few dollars to help keep the show going, we most certainly would appreciate it, definitely. So that's all I'll say about that. I do want to remember our good friend Jeff, our New York Bureau, and our good friend Andy. They were great supporters of the program. We miss them terribly. Miss hearing from them each week and their support each week. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Stay tuned for next week for another great show on the TIB Network.
You've been listening to The Guy James Show, the cooperative effort of a talented and dedicated staff. Executive producer Gene Charles. Production director Johnny Johnson with J2K Productions. Program coordinator Lila St. John. We thank the staff for their continued dedication, and we thank you for your interest in our show. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. This has been The Guy James Show.